Welcome to iPodcast Magic Missile, where we play games and talk geek. Broadcasting every week from the New River Valley in the beautiful mountains of Southwest Virginia, we bring you audio from some of the most exciting games, new and old. No actual wizard spells here, just actual play from great games. This is iPodcast Magic Missile.
I guess we'll do each person's intro first. Though you're gonna have to do it again, apparently, for the benefit of the other party.
That's a little...
No, that is it. That is... You know what?
My guess is there's... Is there bureaucratic stuff going over there? Are they bureaucrating over there? I'm not
Who
gonna
knows?
Look over your
I asked.
Screen.
I asked what they were doing, and he said, we're doing bonds. There's nothing secret going on over there right now, except, like, no, there's basically nothing secret going on right now.
Well, I don't think it's the end of the world if we do a little repetition.
Well, if we just do the short version now, and then do the long version, like, in character...
Sure. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So,
Alright!
Now, what are you?
So, my name is Badger. She has gender presentation of kind of a butch female. Her appearance, her distinguishing characteristics, anyway, of her appearance, is her tattoos and her spiky hair, both of which are nanite-infused, so she can change them at will and change the color of her hair. She also has a couple, several cyber parts to the cyber arm.
Okay.
She, body type, muscular, medium build, posture is very relaxed. And she, how do you wear your uniform? Well, we have a uniform? Question mark? I didn't know we had a uniform. Fuck uniforms. And obviously, loose cannon heavy weapons, because that's a good combo, you guys.
So, we talked a little bit before about, you know, I'll get into that when we're on the call, I guess.
I assume that we'll go more in detail in character on the call. This is just a...
Yanni, what do you got?
I am Rocket. She has a very, tomboy presentation. She has spiky crew cut and is usually covered in grease marks or bits of bioeffluvia from working on mechs, because I'm an engineer. She's short, fit, and is almost always paying attention. Maybe not to you, but to something. Their uniform varies. She's usually pretty close to, like, regulation when going into combat, but the rest of the time she, like, peels the jumpsuit back and wears a tank top and probably a tool belt.
What do we got?
I'm playing Captain Eugene Benson. His call sign is Strike 5. His gender presentation is male. His appearance, he has an indoor pail, such as he's been withheld from the sun for far too long, with several biomod scars throughout his body. He is skinny, with a withdrawn command posture, and he wears his combat uniform neat and crisp, and when outside of combat, he is in full regalia.
Okay. So dress uniform all the way.
So, we have a lot of girls on this team. I'm going to balance out the thing, because I assume that they're probably going to be all girls, or very much girls, so...
I know that Joanna and Patrick are both girls.
Okay.
But they also have, and so Dana will as well, but I'm pretty sure that Duncan and James are going to be men.
I know that James is.
Yeah.
All right. Let me figure this out. All right. Well, then I'll just be male, I guess.
Why? I don't think it matters.
Because I was specifically going to be, like, an androgynous kind of girl, so we'll have three androgynous butch girls.
That's not necessarily a problem.
Well, but, it is in my head for visual distinguishability.
I don't think well, Rocket is that androgynous, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Just so long as we understand that you're making this decision out of need to appeal to your own aesthetic tastes and not your perception that someone else has aesthetic tastes that need to be pursued.
I'm just gonna... This is my own sense of harmony and balance in a party, so...
Then that is your decision to make.
Okay, my name is Starfish, or call sign is Starfish. My name is Gallinger. Gender presentation, androgynous male. Appearance, pale, brown eyes, glasses, disheveled, that word. Body type, posture, I'm twitchy, slight, and defensive, so always kind of contracted. And how I wear my uniform, all of it, and then other things wrapped on top. And I guess, is there anything else we need to do?
No? Okay. That'll be sufficient. So, Badger.
Yes.
What is your, connection to Rocket?
Rocket is the only engineer that I allow to work on the inside of my, allow in the inside of my cockpit. No one else is allowed. I only trust her with the, inner workings of my mech.
Rocket. Is that a friendship or a rivalry? It sounds like friendship.
Yeah, I think that's friendship.
Okay. Alrighty. Rocket, tell me a story about Strike. Captain Strike.
Strike 5.
Captain Strike 5.
What was your specialty? It's hard to get 5 strikes.
Guys? Specialty. So special baseball. As a... I'm the ranking officer. Which also means no
one... Oh, no, you have the side project. I think... I generally work directly on mechs, not with other things like he does, but I think sometimes we might compete a little bit to see who can make the better improvement or whatever.
So, professional competition.
Yeah.
Strike, is that a friendship or a rivalry?
It is a rivalry.
I can call you Strike 5, I guess, every time.
Strike!
Is that like a strike through and like a strike through redacted five? Yeah. Is that the symbol on like your helmet?
Oh, I wasn't really thinking that. I was thinking more of just like an ordnance symbol, like the explodey little very animated type thing with a five in the center.
Ah, I see what you're going for now with Strike 5. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, in case this wasn't clear to anyone here, Captain Benson's specialty is in bio system, mechanical system integration. He's in charge of this operation because your guy's mission involves that integration specifically. So this is sort of a situation where you guys are under the command of a person with some technical know-how in your field. Strike 5. What is the deal with Starfish?
Starfish is highly experienced in this operation, however lacks the initiative and nerve to take care of business outside of combat. Dependable in combat, but when planning...
This is more personal to you.
Yeah,
personal, because I am the ranking officer. I see that as a problem.
You respect
Starfish. I can depend on Starfish in combat, but when planning combat, Starfish is very unhelpful to me.
Okay, so you respect Starfish's combat experience, but not his intelligence.
I wouldn't say intelligence. I would say
competence,
dependability outside. Like
you dependability, or you know.
Yeah, definitely on the dependability. Starfish is not dependable on making the plan, but when the plan goes to hell, very dependable.
Respect combat dependability, but not out of contact combat dependability. Alright. Starfish, is that a friendship or a rivalry?
It is a valued friendship.
Okay.
Though I'm not sure he would consider it that.
I think... My character probably is experienced enough to know that no plan survives contact with the enemy. So while it's annoying you can't come up with a plan for generalized operations, it is quite useful that you can react to the situation at hand. So I can focus on the bigger picture.
Starfish, when you find yourself dealing with Badger, what goes through your mind?
I kind of wish I was like that. Seems fun, but I have to do other things. Don't really understand her, but I understand why she gives me so much shit.
Badger, is that a friendship or a rivalry?
I think that's a rivalry.
Alrighty then. Alrighty. We are ready.
So we're doing the introduction character? Maybe.
Pretty much. We're gonna say, I'll say something like, he says they're not quite ready yet.
I want elf ears. I can't draw right now, and I don't know why.
I'm feeling your pain, that's why I have my picture out. I'm like, man.
You know what? Off. While we wait for them to get started, let's actually do, I was gonna do this in the video call, but, just so that we're not, like, pissing away time, And who knows, this will probably, like, cause him to be ready as soon as we actually get started. But let's do a little bit of, let's actually do a little role-playing here.
Sure.
So your guys' situation is that you guys are on a, long-range carrier. This is a large starship who's, got all the people can live on it for years at a time. Its main job is to, this particular ship is to transport military personnel, between star systems. Yanni, what level of space travel technology, do we, the human empire, have? Is it a situation where we can travel at, you know, warp speeds, so it's...
I think we can travel, but we can't communicate, is what we discussed.
Okay.
We've got faster than light travel. It's not 100% reliable, so, like, we can't just, like, beam missiles back and forth with little messages in them.
Okay. Hey, we're here. Excellent.
Hello.
Hello.
Babies.
Fist of Apollo. Come in. Are there dropships?
Fist of Apollo? What's our dropship's name?
Foot of Apollo.
All right. Listen up. So, the admiral, who is the commanding officer on this ship, she is a French woman. We're going to say that her name is Vivian. Steps up to give everyone their description, or to explain to everyone exactly what we're doing here. So, as you know, our technology is a mixture of traditional electronic machinery and alien biological systems adapted from the multi-species interstellar civilization. This is the enemy that we discussed earlier. First and most important among these systems is the direct current sponge, which serves as the power source for all of our biomechanical apparatus. The DCS requires an atmosphere rich in the mutagenic mixture of alien microbes and spores we collectively refer to as electroplasm. As all MIC colonized worlds are saturated with electroplasm, this makes operating on their territory very convenient. Unfortunately, electroplasm is expensive and difficult to produce artificially. The MIC possess some way of producing vast quantities of electroplasm passively. Your mission is to identify this process and acquire all necessary components and materials to reproduce it. Our covert strike team is being dispatched to the Gliese 433 star system, which is home to the home planet of the entire MIC collective. Our carrier is going to position itself in the shadow of Gliese 433B, the innermost planet of the system, which will actually put us slightly inside the sun. This should make us quite impossible for them to detect, but it will also make communication extremely difficult. You're going to launch in two disassembling dropships to land on Gliese 433C7, a moon of the colossal gas planet C. This moon is bigger than Earth, and it is the home planet of Mish. Upon landing, your team is free to operate under its own recognizance to complete its mission. You'll be equipped with all the equipment and biomachinery necessary to subsist on C7 indefinitely. There will be no regular communication or material support from the carrier. Every 100 hours, your team must send a mission status report back to the carrier via direct laser transmission. The details of this will be given to your communications officer. If this transmission is not received, command will assume your team has been killed or captured, and the carrier will withdraw to friendly space. Upon completion or determination of impossibility of mission objectives, the team is responsible for its own extraction back to the carrier. So let's go ahead and do a little roll call here. Team Will, why don't you guys start?
Commander Sopke clears her throat. The primary combatants of the fifth Apollo are Chet, the rookie. Chet. Yes, we know you're a rookie. Yes, we can tell. This is Ogden's chair, the leader of this group, and the sniper. This is Jinx.
That would be.
The veteran quartermaster.
Master Sergeant Farrell Black, Specialist Scout. That is the completion of our team. Come in and kill his deal.
It's fine.
no, it's fine. I'm laughing. It's just...
Let's go and start with you, Badger.
All right. I'm Badger. I carry the big guns, so you don't have to.
I'm Rocket. If it's not broken, then I can fix it.
I am Captain Eugene Benson of Strike 5. I'm the commanding officer of this detail, and you will reportly to me.
Strike 5 will be your commanding officer for this mission. He'll have the final word on all decisions once you guys are planet-side and out of contact with the carrier.
And I'm Starfish. I am the other espionage expert. I guess you're calling us scouts.
All right, team. We're going to launch at mission time 0800. It is now mission time 0. We have just arrived in Gliese 433. So go about your business, make the appropriate preparations, and, report for launch 1 hour, or at, 0700.
Alright. This is Apollo out.
Achilles heel out. I guess that's our name now. Alright, so, you guys all leave the briefing room. Where does, Captain, where do you go?
I report directly to the ops center to receive further briefing. I also bring my CO, or my, not CO, but my NCO, my Master Sergeant, along with me.
Alright.
Why am I here again?
Badger, you know full well that you're the ranking NCO of this operation.
That stands for not, oh, you know what that stands for.
Yeah, so?
As a ranking NCO, you also need to be present for all the mission operations, so then I can focus on the big picture so we can complete mission and carry on.
Alright.
Starfish, where do you go?
I am going to the mess. I'm hungry.
When's the last time you ate?
I don't remember. I think probably 2-3 days ago. I've been up for a long time. I've been doing a lot of reading.
Rocket! I bet I know where you're going.
Does it begin with G?
I don't know what G stands for.
Garage?
Yes.
Camera.
I would have called it the docking bay, but...
I was thinking engineering bay, but yeah, well...
It was going to have some kind of bay in it. Old bay.
Michael bay.
Michael's old bay.
I like to imagine that in the far future, we refer to all places where explosions happen regularly as Michael bays.
I'm going to go over the mechs, make sure everything's in order before the launch.
What did that briefing pull you away from?
Oh, nothing in particular. I mean, we've got... like some stealth dampers on the mechs so that we can get inserted better, but we don't know if it'll actually work or not.
If only there was somebody here who could make a joke about that. There isn't.
Okay.
Actually, no, you know what? There is. Reese, who is basically the carrier's not chief mechanic.
He could be the warrant officer.
I mean, okay.
That's kind of quartermaster.
Right, okay. Obviously... Yeah, so I guess engineering quartermaster is like, you know, not as, reports to Graham, but,
I mean, the Army, they would just call him, like, the NCOIC, or if he was a warrant officer, he'd be the OIC.
Anyway, so he says something and be like, inserted better, I get that joke.
That was definitely the joke I was making. You got it.
I'm now picturing Reese from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, it was
He's highly satisfied with himself. All right, in ops, they're going to go ahead and give you guys the rundown with the whole communication situation. There are several other communications officers here. Well, I guess two, because there's going to be one on each dropship. There's, you know, some redundancy in the staff of the ships, though. Of course, you're not meant to function independently.
So we did forget one thing.
What's that?
Which is highlighting.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh, excellent. We've maintained the proud tradition of forgetting to do highlighting.
Yeah, that's a... So, it's how experience works in this game. You'll pick two stats, and other people... Well, you won't pick two stats for yourself. Other people will pick two stats for you. And things that they want to see you do. And then...
That means utilize your blank.
Got it.
During this session.
Like, hey, I want to see you be smart. Have brains.
And I don't remember what mechanic for.
It's bonds. Someone you have a bond with, and then the DM.
Right. So who would you like to highlight first?
Oh, does command highlight, or no, does the player
usually
highlight
command
color?
Is usually, like, command will pick someone, and then the actual order doesn't matter. Usually what we do is the person who last did it then picks someone until you can't do that anymore. Because you can pick anyone you have a bond with.
Ah, okay. Well, then let's go, since we've been going counterclockwise or clockwise most of the night, let's start with Starfish. Who are you highlighting?
I'll highlight Strikes.
So then you pick what you want to see on her sheet. Right?
Yes. He will pick one that you want her to see, and then Blake will pick one. Or you want to see her.
Because we're highlighting you right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that how that works? Yes. I actually thought...
It can be a little confusing. I'll highlight Starfish's steel.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, at this point, I actually don't know what everybody here is best at, because I don't have the playbooks memorized. So.
Mine's fire all the time.
Well, it's different for...
each playbook.
Yeah. You've got options. Might want to go through stats.
Yeah, okay. So what...
Why don't we just do it as we go through?
Yeah.
So what are you good at and bad at?
So I am good at, I'm all right at steel and fire, really brainy, shitty heart, but it's okay because I read social situations with steel. Brains and steel are my big things.
Ah, style is where you're zero. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're highlighting the steel?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's customary to highlight the high stat for the first session, so I'll go for the brain.
Okay.
So then, who do you have a bond with, James?
I have a bond with you, so okay. I'll choose Rocket.
All right. And one thing worth pointing out is during the highlighting, like, while we're playing, we in Apocalypse Sword, you generally try and refer to people by the character, but for the highlighting, it's what the player wants to see.
Ah.
So I want to see you be smart. Do highlight brains, and that's what little checkbox for. What else?
Okay. What's your stats, Brad?
I too am all right at fire and steel. I have a neutral style. I do not have much heart. I do not empathize well, and I am quite intelligent.
Interesting. So you're actually pretty much the same spread as Starfish.
And I think we're basically the same spread.
I'm a bit more balanced.
Yeah.
I want to see your fire in the first session.
All right. So I guess that leaves it to me. So L, what do you want to see Rocket be? Rocket is fiery and stylish, but...
I want to see you be stylish.
She's okay at steel, but not so hot in the hearts and brains department, because those aren't mechanical.
All right, so...
Or biomechanical. Well, so...
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
All right. So what did L say?
Stock.
Yeah. All right. I want to see your steel.
Okay.
My stats are fire all the time. I have +3 fire. Because fire.
Super front loaded.
Mm-hmm. And I have pretty balanced stats aside from that, except I have a -2 in heart because she doesn't have that either. Because apparently this is the team
we just have no emotions.
No charisma at all. I have a +1 brains. I'm not stupid. I'm just, you know, it's
very
balanced.
Violent.
So actually, give me so -1, -1, what's your heart?
And -1.
-2.
Wow. Dang. It's a good thing
regular
we started
tin
with
man
it's
team.
A, it's we a good thing we started with two friendships.
We should name this squad the Tin Man Team.
Yeah, apparently we're Team Achilles Heel. What was the first one? Fist of Atlas?
Apollo.
Fist of Apollo.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say Caitlin.
I wanna see that fire.
Yeah. What about you, Blake? You get a pick. She picked my high stat, so you can pick.
I want to see your shitty heart.
Okay.
This is one where you will get XP for failure, probably.
So, anytime you roll
either
of those two stats this session, you mark an XP.
When you get to 5, you erase them all, and then you pick one of the advancements. You can only pick each advancement once, as well as also a checkbox versus each one of those.
Okay.
They are pretty self-explanatory, but if you have any questions, there's lots of people here who can answer.
And generally, you want to pick your next advancement before you get more XP, because you don't go up to 6. It doesn't wrap around.
Yeah, you can hold the advancement as long as you want, but if you would get XP when you should have advanced already, it doesn't continue.
Makes sense, yeah.
Though sometimes that is worthwhile, especially for dramatic purposes, to be like, aha, now I do this thing, and I take this move, and I do this other thing. Wah!
I definitely have done that before.
All right, so, let's see, where were we? Right, let me go back to Ops. So, like I said, there's two communications officers there. The communications officer that's assigned to your guys' dropship. Are we going to call it the Achilles heel?
Fuck it.
So, ops. Admiral Vivian comes in and explains to you guys that the orientation of B is such that you guys can fire a tight band communications laser at its moon. And the carrier will stay in such a position as to be able to catch that reflected communications beam in that dark side of the on that dark side of the planet, but it will remain quite invisible to any kind of radio detection. So it is important, being as we are in the lion's den, to remember that to maintain at least the carrier's secrecy. If you guys get discovered on the surface of the planet, this planet is big, the terrain is very complex, the indigenous population is not of one faction, so there are borders you can cross where there will have jurisdictional line issues, or so our intel has led us to believe, you know, reports from the colony before they went native. Forgive me for not doing a French woman's voice. I'll try to remember doing it.
It's okay.
Your communications officer's name is Arnold. She is a woman. That's her last name. Unlike many of the members of your team, Arnold is the picture of stereotypical femininity. She may have had her uniform taken in the waist to show off her hourglass figure. And she probably has heart for days if she were a PC.
So she's actually landing with us?
Yes. It'll be her job to release that communication first. How do you feel about Lieutenant Arnold?
Me?
Yeah.
She talks too much. And about things no one cares about.
How about you, Captain?
Well, did you give her a rank, or...?
I made her a lieutenant. Is that too high?
No, lieutenant's low. Well, Lieutenant Arnold is new to her position. She does quite an efficient job explaining the technical jargon of her communication relays quite smoothly.
Okay. Man, I'm having like a typing issue tonight. Couldn't spell all kinds of things. Okay, Starfish. So, you go into the mess, and you are immediately displeased to see someone. Do I need it? So, am I supposed to make up all the NPCs, or can players make up NPCs too?
Both.
Okay.
Pretty much as the situation calls for.
Okay.
Traditionally, it's more in your purview than ours, but you can allow us to as it suits you.
Okay, I kind of like to see you make up the person that you're not happy to see, but if it's too much of a chore,
I can totally do this. So does anyone have, like, a medic role, or something similar to a medic role in the game?
In the other game, let's see here now. Chet is the medic. That is Duncan's character. He is a rookie, and apparently a kind of slacker grad student-y type.
Okay. Let's say the ship psychiatrist.
Alright. You want me to name him or her?
Yeah, if you would give a name.
Okay. Alright. Dr. Yuko. He is Ukrainian, and thinks he can fix you. Always trying to get your attention and bend your ear about something. He's like, this is a textbook case of... And then some psychobabble that me, the GM, is not competent to spout, but I'm sure that
it's
you know the type.
It's future psychology. It could be anything.
Future psychology. He's a little on the elderly side, but not... You know, physically impaired. He's probably pushing 60. But, you know, it's not like he's a combat guy. It's not like he drives a mech or anything. But he'll probably be going down to the surface with you guys. He is renowned for his supposed understanding of the mindset of converts. Humans who have chosen to accept the mech way of life and become mutated to... fit in with their civilization. Incidentally,
So I take it he doesn't like my fascination with their poetry and culture.
Rocket, how do you feel about Dr. Yuko?
Psychiatrist?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. He thinks he can fix everybody. But people aren't machines. You can fix machines. I don't know. Hopefully he's not coming down with us, but not in command. My luck probably will be.
So you're in the mess.
Yep, which is why I'm eating.
Dr. Yuko hasn't seen you yet.
I think I'm going to kind of try to, like, dodge into a line, and I'm kind of watching him, and I'm hugging close to the person in front of me, like, a little bit too close. I really, really do not want to get into another conversation with him. I don't want him to... I'm supposed to be showering more, and things. A lot of things.
Okay. Let's see here now. Is there something that I could have you roll for this?
Sure, yeah. Probably, like, a steal.
Keep cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be my guess.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Which is steal.
Yep, okay. So try to keep cool. So, well, what I was trying to do, what I was going for is a roll specifically to evade his, to successfully evade his notice.
So usually in this game, you would skin it, in games like this, you would skin it, and then like, unless you have a specific move, it would be like, you know, if you're cool, to okay. do something.
All right.
Like, get your food, get out before he notices you.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. Let's see it then.
All right. Well.
Sounds like you, we're so nervous you, like, bang your fists together or something.
You are, like, looking, you know, with your eyes locked on the back of his head as he's sitting at, you know, one of the tables. You crash right into the person in the back of the line. And it is... I have a real problem with NPC naming. I tend to give people really stereotypical names, so it's definitely a big old fat guy.
That is actually a thing. It was made a list of
call signs.
Call signs for the MC to use, because most other apocalypse games will have like a list of 20 to 50 names. You can just like cross them off as you use them.
Is there an understanding that there are to be any actual combat mech pilots beyond the PCs in this? Did we really? Is that a thing?
I would assume so.
That's local. Okay.
I was thinking, at least, and, I mean, this is never said explicitly, but my thought when we were designing this world was that we are just a lance of mech pilots, and there are plenty of other mechs.
Okay. But, I mean, on this mission, that are going to go planet-side.
I was under the assumption, under the illusion that it was just us, because it was a small mission.
It's like a Black Ops mission.
Yeah. Not you and your support staff.
I kind of saw this as, like, the Rangers. Mm-hmm. We are the Rangers, as these guys are to grunts in the which is... There's a
that
difference.
Said, they might have had some grunts on board in case shit hit the fan.
Well, there will certainly be other personnel coming planet-side with you. In an out-of-context sense, so that you guys have someone to interact with socially on the surface, because the locals are, you know, you're kind of going to stick out like a sore thumb.
I could see them being the grunts you secure our forward operators, which I will henceforth refer to as FOB.
Okay.
There might be a few that are responsible for the protection of the groundies, because we're going to be in enemy territory.
Also, probably some shipboard marines as well.
All right. Well, and this guy is one of those marines. His name is Carlisle. Carlisle has 2 volumes. Ear splitting and asleep. Which is somehow louder. And as soon as you bump into him, he turns around and he's like, Starfish, my friend! And gives you a big ol' hug. Because in Carlisle's world, there is one cure for every ailment, and that's hugs.
Hello, Carlisle.
He is a private. He is just a private. So he really has no business doing this.
It's okay. He's friendly. He seems benevolent. Will you put me down? It's okay. Right. Hey, Carlisle, can I get down?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Who? Oh, Dr. Yukov! He's coming over to see you.
Damn! Oh god, I just want to eat something. Dr. Yukov, hi!
Gentlemen, how are you feelings today?
Hungry. How are you feelings today, Mr. Wrong Verb Using?
I thought it was going to be funny. I like faking a Ukrainian accent from time to time. Huh? As you know. I'm fine. Have you been
Have you been taking better care of yourself? He leans in and kind of tries to nonchalantly sniff you. But it's a little difficult to do that because Carlisle is standing there like, you know, kind of, oh boy, oh boy. Surrounded by my friends.
Yeah, I have been doing lots of work, though. Lots of good work. I've been doing lots of reading and research for the mission. Because, well, Black and I are going to do this whole thing together. And we've been working on this plan. And I've been really busy, but I need to eat something. I need to eat some food.
Yes, yes, I suppose you do. Why don't we sit together over lunch? I believe it's about lunchtime. So, you can tell me all about the research you've been doing. Absolutely fascinating.
Yes, I will tell you about research and eat food with you.
Hooray! Wonderful. Splendid. Stupendous.
I'm just begging at Carlisle with my eyes. I don't know what I'm asking him to do. I just know I'm asking him.
He doesn't understand. Actually, roll heart.
7.
Okay. Carlisle perceives that you are uncomfortable. And, kind of leans in and is like, Starfish, you don't look so good. Doctor, I don't think Starfish looks so good. I think maybe you need to go to the doctor. The regular doctor, not the psychologist doctor.
Yes, I...
Because you're sick.
Feel like I will vomit my food that I haven't eaten yet, but if I had eaten it, I would be vomiting it.
Dr. Yukov is like, okay, another time then.
Right.
The Admiral has actually recently cleared me to land with the landing party. So I'll be riding on the Achilles with you guys. This will be my first combat landing. I'm very excited. Don't worry, I will definitely stay out of the way. Bullets are the worst thing for the brain.
I suppose we'll be trying to finish the evaluation then.
Oh, well, yes, of course. There's no need to, you know.
In
our own time, do not stress. Everything will be fine.
It's not necessary, and they know that. You know that, right, Doctor?
Oh, you know, naturally. Everything we do, and by we I mean psychologists, I like to think of our very existence as necessary. Every little conversation, every little word, all of it can be very helpful, even to the completely sane and well-balanced. You know, we all need a little bit of guidance, a little bit of stabilizing in our lives. So, but yes, don't worry about anything, my boy. Everything will be fine. Just fine. We're going to have plenty of time together in the next couple of weeks as we knock out this nasty problem.
I'm sure it will be delightful. Runs!
Excellent. All right. Badger, the Admiral just keeps going on and on and on about, you know, various...
Streetlight people.
Various details of the, like operational details of the mission. Mm-hmm. The kind of thing that you have to be there to know.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, these are some people of interest that were thought to be formerly of the colony here, and actually we haven't had communications with them recently. But if you see this person or that person, you know, here's someone who should probably be assassinated on sight. Here's someone who we think might still be sympathetic to our cause and could potentially be a contact locally. There is one thing that she has to say that you are waiting to hear besides your dismiss.
No.
Admiral Vivian is not bad looking for, you know, on her age.
Sure. I just don't like getting serious. It's too much of a hassle. It's much easier if you can just kind of get it over with. You do it once, you know. What I'm waiting to hear, is... whether or not we are, so, world question, are we, the converts, are we considering them still humans, or are we considering them enemies?
The military line on that is that, anyone who is mutated beyond special exemptions, such as Ix, is an enemy.
Okay.
An enemy of humanity. We are not necessarily at open war. There have been skirmishes, but it's always been the kind of thing that could be diplomatically glossed over. Neither side really wants that. Neither of us is sure we would win. So, it's sort of an Israelis and Palestinians thing. Where they see each other, their first instinct is to get violent. But then afterwards, it's always an isolated incident. We have no control over what the locals of, you know, Planet Y are, gonna do. We have no control, and we're like, well, you know, our men are trained to return fire when fired upon, or, you know, we believe this was a terrorist attack. That kind of thing. But yeah, it's certainly a Cold War.
Okay. Well, in that case, I think the thing she is listening for, the thing I'm listening for, is whether or not we're going to be able to have mandated upgrades to our mechs. Because we're going to be going down to the alien homeworld with the Eras designed for organic mechs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm rather attached to mine as it is. They've been trying to get me to upgrade it for years.
Mm.
I keep losing the paperwork on accident.
Oops.
I'll get around to it someday.
Alright, then, when she finally gets to that, she's probably like, ah, yes. Or she's going down a little, she's got like a little, clip reader, you know, it's gonna be a pad of some kind. She's going into this, she's like, ah, yes. Hardware inspection. So, everyone who is going to be piloting a combat vehicle is going to have to make sure that their, hardware is up to all of the specs. With, what is your rank, what is your rank, Rocket?
Master Sergeant.
Right. No.
What?
Rocket.
Oh, I don't know.
You're the Chief Engineer, right? Is that what we determined? Oh, no, I guess maybe not.
Reese was the Chief Engineer, wasn't he?
No, Reese is the, like, Reese is basically the clerk.
The Fleet Engineer?
No, his job is to, his job is to keep tally on the number of bolts and screws that get used up, you know what I'm saying? So, everyone has to talk to him all the time, he's always taking records of things, but he doesn't have authority over you. You outrank him.
I'm not super on military ranks, so I'm
Say engineer.
We'll call him Chief Warrant Officer, how about that? Chief Warrant Officer is below officer ranks, but they're above enlisted ranks.
Okay. Hopefully this one. Tell me if the trying to keep with the military stuff is dragging things down, because I'm assuming you're not going to be too offended if we move on past that and try and keep it loose.
I imagine I can correct this rapidly.
Okay.
If need be.
Well, no, what I meant is, if everyone feels like it's, like, the detail of hanging on those kinds of things is bumming them out.
I like the detail. I think it's...
I don't mind it. I just might need some help.
Okay.
I kind of want to see if we could grab titles that kind of might not be...
A little bit more descriptive?
Yeah.
Less jargony?
And in a way that might even be, like, fluffy for the story.
Okay. Well, let's just say engineer, did you have a real name? Are we avoiding?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah, this was one of the things about Souls of Steel that sort of wore on me a little bit, because I feel like when the pilots are dealing with each other, their call signs are sufficient, but when dealing with NPCs, a lot of times NPCs are not going to call you by your call sign. It would be a gesture of disrespect. And especially in the case of those who outrank you, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I guess it can, like if it's a given that in the world, but that might be something to consider as far
that,
as...
That might be something to decide in character creation. Because like in
and
Battlestar Galactica, you know, you have your name and rank, which military people will do, but then when you're within your unit, you're going to be going by the call sign, and that's what people call you commonly.
Okay, you're going to have to make sure that you get the sign off of Chief Engineer, whatever his name is. Her name, sorry. I'm good with you. I'll probably make that mistake once or twice more, but I'm trying very hard with the gender agreement. And she kind of glares at you a little bit, like, yeah, I've heard of you.
Just going to stare at her right back.
The other thing is that, again, once you guys are on the surface... You know, Captain Benson has last say, but if the need is to engage, then you're certainly authorized to engage. You all have your licenses to kill activated. If things get too politically hairy, the Empire will disavow you. But that doesn't mean you don't get to return back. I mean, this is, like I said, a black ops. All kinds of funny things can happen down there. Not leaving witnesses is more important than minimizing footprint. But again, it's a personal style choice. If you guys want to go all ninja, that's That's definitely your prerogative. She doesn't actually say that. She's very straight-laced. Yeah, I don't know why I can't just do Vivian's voice. I have a voice in my head, but I don't know. Something about me makes me feel uncomfortable when I'm trying to do first-person role-playing for a female character. Mm. Anyway, does anyone have any questions? No? No. Okay, you're dismissed.
Well, I think I'll wander down to the engineering bay then.
All right.
And get that piece of paper signed.
All right. You guys didn't have anything to say to me, or do you guys have anything to say to each other before?
I don't, unless you do.
No, carry on.
Actually, I think as I walk away, like, my back is to you. I'm, like, halfway down the hall. Like, see? Total waste of time.
I'll deal with that later.
All right. So you're heading down to engineering.
So, real name is Michelle Gorski.
Okay. All righty. Oh, I put rank down there.
Mine is Winston Gallinger.
Gallinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense, because the Dr. Hukov would call you Gallinger.
Mm-hmm.
Winston.
And Winston, yeah, Winston, if he's condescending.
Right. Cool. Okay, let's you. I haven't gotten to you much yet, so let's do you two. Down in...
Before she gets there, Reese is not going to be coming with us, is he?
I suspect he actually will. He won't have that much work to do down there, but did you want him to or not want him to?
Oh, no. I just...
Did Rocket want him to or not want him to?
No. I might behave differently towards him were he not going down then. But it's fine. No, you know what? I think while I'm up and inspecting one of the mechs, who's probably got the biggest mech of the four of us?
Not mine.
Yeah.
Mine's small.
Maybe.
Oh, I was going to say mine is I have a stealthy, scouty mech kind of thing.
So probably you.
I have a small mech too, actually.
So probably my own then. That's fine. It's only got one armor, but...
You know what? While we're in the engineering bay, let's talk a little bit about our hardware.
Sweet.
By the way, real name is Master Sergeant Rebecca Archer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll actually be heading towards engineering as well, because I assume that's where research projects would be, such as... weapon upgrades and whatnot within the carrier, since it's meant to sustain us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd assume R&D would be close by.
Okay. Well, yeah, this is probably a science vessel. We've got a lot of scientists on board, and even though this is a hot mission, it is fundamentally a science mission. That's why they put you in charge. So, okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
I'm also going down to engineering because I left my snacks in my map, so we can all get there.
All right.
So I think I'm going to try and convince Reese to come over and talk to me while I'm with my mech, and suggest that we should bring a little bit extra materials with us.
Bio or mechanical?
Yeah, everything. I mean, who knows? I don't think we're going to be in communication, right? I don't have the full mission briefing, but my understanding this is a communications blackout sort of dealy bobber.
Well, mice... biology, naturally tends to be, is pretty good at self-healing. If it's not real wrecked up, you know, that's one of the nice things about mice exteriors on a mech, because, you know, if you have armor plates and they get dented, you have to hammer them out again. If you have a mycin, chitinous armor plate and it gets bruised, a new one grows underneath and it just sloughs off. As long as it's got access to plenty of electroplasm, which, of course, we're basically diving into a soup of it.
Sure, but having, extra buds for mice parts and extra machine parts for the internals, Command's not going to requisition us enough. They never do. If you go on a mission, we should bring a little extra.
Okay. Well, certainly, certainly I'm not opposed to that.
I actually am hoping to... seduce or manipulate him here.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yeah, why don't you come up here and we can talk about what exactly we need to get extra.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I forgot.
Is that heart-based?
Huh?
The seduce or manipulate heart or style-based?
Style. So that's a 4. Because I'm good at style.
we're off to some great rolls so far.
If I can make a suggestion, we're trying to figure out some way that we can both fit in the cockpit when she comes in.
I can leave you two alone if you want.
I was actually thinking that that failure is that Reese is totally convinced that your interest was not actually in requisiting additional gear at all, but just coming up with a pretext to get him in that cockpit.
I see.
Like, oh yes. Like, well, I can certainly think of one bolt I'll be bringing along. Badger!
So,
hi.
They're still talking, right?
No, that's Badger. You walk in there and you're like, well, there goes my boner.
Well, perfect timing. You should have signed the paper per usual.
I see.
Look, I'm not getting one of those mice mutts. That's not happening. You and I both know this.
You know they're gonna inspect him before we go down.
No, you're inspecting it right now. That's what this piece of paper's for. Just sign it. Pick up your hand. Right here. Come on.
No.
Come on.
They're gonna see if I send your mech down without nothing on it.
Sticky wicked, isn't it?
Can I punch him? You know what? Fuck it.
Oh shit! Roll fire!
That's a six, because I'm good at fire.
I think that's a failure, yeah?
Could the failure be that
I
somehow,
almost...
when I walk in to get my things, you just hit me.
Well, I was actually kind of... okay, I guess you guys climbed down from the mech then. I was thinking you kind of were in the cockpit, and you were, like, maybe sitting in his lap or some trash.
Well, I think she's actually on the ladder beside the mech.
I like, fall into the cockpit, so they're in the cockpit, and I'm, like, half in the cockpit.
It turns out that Reese is actually, like, a Tai Chi black belt. And he totally, like, bends over and just slides out of the cockpit backwards, lands on his hands, and then straightens, and is like, ha-ha! You have to get up pretty early in the morning to put a lick on old Lieutenant Reese! I'm sorry, I didn't mean for this guy to be so hilarious.
It's okay.
maybe it is not within my power to make a totally serious campaign.
I think that's okay, too.
Reese escapes. But he does totally scurry off. He doesn't want to give you a second shot.
I'm totally not going to chase him.
He's going to break my neck.
I'm going to help Badger up. I'll put something furry on for show. Get it.
Just tell them that the interior is up to snuff. We both know it is.
They got to see something. The initial stealth shielding crap, it's probably going to work. That should be enough to show.
Whose project was the stealth shielding thing?
It's just something I made up. It's nothing.
Okay.
Like... In my mind, it's something that is totally not going to work at all, and it's just some R&D brainchild that won't survive contact with the enemy.
Okay.
A MacGuffin to be examining while I'm down in the machine.
Let's say that that's a that actually is a thing that they've been working on. Part of your guys' cover going down is that they have a sort of membranous film that crawls all over your mech. It's sort of a, I guess technically it's a fungus, but it's very fast growing. So like that takes about an hour for it to crawl all over the whole thing. But the hope is that to enemy sensors, it'll make you show up as just another, bit of local fauna. C7. I was gonna have one of you guys say what the locals call it, but, that's right, actually, we're gonna get that from, Patrick. So that may become a thing that for the next session. Is actually a remarkably well-preserved natural environment. I guess that kind of goes part and parcel with having totally biological technology. You know, their buildings are living things. They have some metal, certainly, but it's all a biological process. They don't grind out things with machines. They, you know, sprinkle enzymes in pools and get the thing they want. Let's see here now. So, yeah, let's say that that's a thing. You could maybe use that for cover. It probably will offend you aesthetically.
Yeah.
It'll be temporary, unless it actually works, which they're giving us untested tech. It's a fungus. It's not even proper mice technology. Give me the permission to run it over your mech and sign off on it.
As long as it's only on the exterior, it comes off.
All right.
Sign whatever you need to sign.
Is there any kind of appropriate role here?
For what?
I don't know. I don't know if...
This would probably just be exposition or some sort of technobabble thing.
If we were less agreeing, it might be a manipulate role.
Okay. But right, you guys are friends with each other. You're pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, yes. You were on your way to engineering as well. You were going to R&D.
I was kind of assuming that I was trying to go to my private R&D for my side project, which I was kind of thinking would be in the engineering bay, since it would probably be a mobile unit that went down in the drop.
Okay, seems good. How mobile? Does this thing have wheels? Does it have legs? Does it need someone to drive it? Is it AI?
It is. It drives to a location, and then it is set. So I imagine in the drop pod instance, they would drive it out, and then they would set it up. So it could be broken back down, but it takes time.
You guys, drop pods are... I mean, they're more like drop ships. They can take off again. They're not one way. They're not a one-way ticket. But what they do when they land is that they're full of a lot of hollow space. They're pretty thick. They're pretty thin-skinned. And when they land, they retract and become a small piece of hardware that any of your mechs could just basically carry on their back. So that you guys don't have, so that you guys can stay mobile and don't have to set up a permanent forward operating base. Certainly it's a thing you can do if you find a position secure enough, but mobility is key when you're operating on enemy territory, so...
Oh, I figured that when we secured tech, we'd take it back to a less mobile area, so if we get something, some membrane that excretes what we're looking for,
we
collect it, and then...
Another thing that I should mention is a very popular piece of... a popular aesthetic in mice tech is... like small independent life forms that can be plugged into something else. So the DC sponge is one of the easiest ones, because the best thing about a DC sponge is you can just cut it in half, and then in a couple of months you have to. It grows to fill its container, so it's like in a tight container inside you guys' ships. It has to be exposed to the atmosphere, but one of the neat things about it is it also scrubs the electroplasm out of that atmosphere. So it's also your guys' atmospheric scrubber when you're in the mech. Very efficient that way, right? Though, of course, mice tend not to separate themselves from the atmosphere, because they all metabolize this stuff. It's all, like, it keeps you fed. For some species, it negates their need to sleep. So it sort of does all these jobs. What they don't know is exactly where it comes from. The mice haven't really colonized any worlds in extremely recent history. So you're not sure what they do in the terraforming, but once it's set up, the whole atmosphere is just, the whole planet is just bathed in. But you suspect, based on the way a lot of their other hardware works, that it's probably some kind of thing, some kind of sea anemone or some independent life form that just exhales it. So that's sort of the assumption that's been made going in, but it's not a known quantity. That would certainly be the most convenient thing, because if you guys find one, you can just pick it up and take it home with you. But it's something that they've been looking for on other planets and not found. It's like, well, the atmosphere is certainly rife with it, but we're not sure where it's coming from exactly. So anyway, there was that bit of background. So I guess you're both ending non-engineering. So you guys bump into each other in the hallway, at the T-junction where you're turning right and he's turning left, and, you're both going to then be going the same direction.
Sorry, sir.
No problem. You look a little more shaken up than usual. Something happened.
Dr. Cove, bothering me. I need to eat something.
Typical pseudoscientist, always bothering people. Why do we let an untrained civilian with no supported documentation, case studies, anything, just all unique, nothing. All the years that psychology has existed, nothing.
He's interfering with my research.
Mine as well.
This poor guy, nobody on this team likes him.
I didn't say I disliked him.
Really, what did you say? Because I wrote down, doesn't like him either.
Oh.
I got this very solid impression that you did not like him very much.
I got the sense that you were just totally neutral. Like, a person who existed.
That was more like, more dubious than dislike. Like, I think my exact phrase was, you can fix machines, because you can't.
Anyway, are you going to do the checkup on your mech?
I'm hungry. Haven't eaten much.
Maybe you should go to the mess and eat.
I did, and then Dr. Yukov is there, so I'm going to go to my mech, because I always leave things in there.
You know that's against regulations, correct?
He gets hungry, I get hungry, it's good. Pretty easy, too.
Starfish, am I going to have Sergeant Badger write you up again?
No, Sergeant Badger knows to leave Freddy alone. It's important. And it's not like that's all neat. It's sometimes I like to be nice,
You know he doesn't actually eat the food, correct?
Yes, he does. Okay. Sorry, sir.
It's probably just some odd subsystem within your creature. I don't even know how it evolved yet, but I will figure it out.
Happy. Look at his. You looked at his face.
It doesn't have a face. We scooped out its brain. It cannot feel happiness. You occupy the space where its brain is, and then when you neuralink in with your bioware, we've explained this at least 30 times.
The higher systems. The higher.
You're the higher system.
No, the lower system's still there. Now I'm the higher system, but the lower system is still there. And it likes...
It's base nerve impulses from the extremities and the armor integrating into the wetware.
But the core, the nexus is still in there. The ganglion is still... That's... I keep on telling you guys that... I don't know how it is with the other things, but I know for Freddy, it's there. That's where he told me it was. And...
You know, I tolerate
your
naming of your mech, but it does not have a spirit of the machine like you keep insisting.
It's not a spirit of a machine. It's a ganglion. It's just soft and...
Carry on. Report to engineering and to Sergeant Badger and...
Sorry, sir.
No problem.
Okay. Carry on. So, this seems like an excellent time for me to get some description. So, we're going to start with Freddy. Tell me a story about Freddy.
Freddy is a large... So, Freddy was definitely some sort of animal at some point.
Okay.
As you've said, the brain was scooped out. Right. But whatever kind of species he is...
Do you want me to name it, or do you want to name it, or is it something we even know the name of?
I want it to be something we don't necessarily know the name of.
Okay.
but something where, like, do you remember back when people freaked out thinking that dinosaurs had two brains because they had that big gut ganglion? Mm-hmm. Like, if that was, like, how things actually were? So we've scooped out some part of its consciousness, but there's still something in there that would allow it to, like, work as a machine. So whatever I'm hooking into, it's... possible, but not probable, that it has... We don't know enough about it.
So, how much machinery is there on your... We're gonna go ahead and call them a biomech, if they are, if they're both... So you've got a mech, and you've got a biomech.
If you looked at it, it would look more like an animal than a machine, but it has got rivets and shit in it, it's reinforced, it's got metal and all the stuff around its body... plan. It's got a reinforced carapace type thing. I have a non-standard chassis and
tell me about your cockpit.
My cockpit is not a cockpit. It's a pool in the center of it. And there is a mask. And the mask connects to an oxygen storage system. And you just put the mask on and you curl up like a soft, warm, safe little baby. And you float, and then you see out of it.
Ah, okay. So you've got a full,
sensory deprivation chamber.
I was gonna say sensory integration piloting.
So kind of both of those things. We're not sure why it works. In fact, it probably shouldn't work.
Alrighty.
This is a good time to say that I have alien mind.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else? I'm sorry that I cut you off earlier. I just wanted to get that detail out. What were you saying?
That's really all, Oh, and I feed it.
You feed it in its mouth?
I feed it in its mouth, and I feed it in its... So, like, there's the thing where you can curl up and be safe and warm, but there's also, like, a storage area in the center where you can keep shit. So...
Where is...
I have my snacks in the storage area.
We're gonna go ahead and continue to call it the cockpit, but you can call it the sensory integration pool if you prefer.
The womb is what I call it.
Okay, where is that on it? I see that it's roughly dog-shaped. Where is it?
It would be, like, right in the center.
Okay.
And you are curled up in a fetal position with your hands around your
Sort
hands.
Of where the lungs would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is not a standard design. I don't...
Well, there's nothing saying that mice have their brain in their head, or that they even have a head.
Yeah.
They come in a variety of shapes.
We certainly scooped a brain out of its head, which is where the mouth is that I feed it.
Okay.
So
I got it. All right. Strike, tell me a story about your rig.
The SC-01 Shade is the first of its kind. It is grown in a lab and then up-armored and integrated with interlocking nervous systems. So each part of it is a unique organism that was grown in a lab. And then they are wired together through both hardware and nervous systems to create the whole. My system is much like Starfish's, where I'm in the center of the mecha, but in a more traditional cockpit. I'm linked in and wear a specialized suit where I have a helmet that shows me the heads-up displays, okay. But to control the mecha, it is integrated into my nervous system somewhat through a wetware.
So you drive it via a brain port of some kind, but but you don't become it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine not quite in the Matrix when they're in the pod. Mm-hmm. Like, I have those outlets where it screws into me, uh-huh. but it doesn't knock me out, where it's much more like Pacific Rim, where I have the helmet and the heads up mm-hmm. display and the helmet, and can use my hands somewhat to access controls.
Okay.
Whereas I'm more like in the pod.
Right. All right. What do you guys, let me get a thing about armaments. So what's your armament?
So I have, one weapon, which is it's kind of like a stun thing. It's probably the tail, or maybe the teeth even. It's silent, stun, and fragile.
Oh.
And then I have a second one, which is, loud, melee, and dangerous. Both of those are three.
What's the loud? You said the first one is loud melee, or the second one is loud melee and dangerous.
Yeah.
And what exactly?
Oh, loud melee plus one damage and dangerous. Sorry.
What exactly is it? This is more for fluff than mechanic.
Yeah. So the one of them is a, I think one of those is a bite.
Okay.
And the other one is a bite with like a gunshot in it or some shit. Okay. So like it's like a
bite
electrocution or something
with, Okay. Bite with electric.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shade armaments.
I have the Mark 47-L SMG, affectionately called the Grinder by the troops. It is a rapid-fire laser weapon that is turret-mounted on where the mandibles would be on the Scorpion.
Okay. So it's a face gun.
Yeah. It is close, rapid-fire, hot and loud.
Okay.
So when it fires, it chews through something very, very quick and efficiently, but tends to overheat, and what it hits makes a lot of noise.
What's it do? Or what else do you have?
My next one is the Mark II Spine Stinger, also known as the Bone Splitter. It is...
Another stingy tail?
It is a stinger tail that, when it stings, it tends to explode out in a fragment, kind of like a directional grenade.
Oh, but it regrows another one, or is it...
It is an area melee, limited ammo. So my mech has the capability to regrow them, however, very slowly.
Okay. So it's a punching grenade.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. I love it. All right. Rocket, what do you drive?
Piloting the VLN-8G. I've nicknamed it Valentina, first female cosmonaut. And... It is more similar to Strike Five's mech. It's a little bit less straight off the production line and a little bit more heavily modded.
Is it Scorpion shaped?
No, it's a walker.
Okay.
This is approximately what it is, except the weapons are very definitely biological. As such, they don't have names. The primary weapon is a 3-damage loud far biomissile launcher.
Hang on a second. How do you spell chassis?
C-H-A-S-S-I-S.
Ah, the second S. I'm sorry, I could not come up... I was like, why can't I make this look right? Plant. Okay, so anyway, so like, walker, mech chassis, bioweapons.
Mm-hmm.
And those are...
The primary is biomissiles. I like calling them Hornets. It's Hornets, that sounds good. They don't have an official name because it's a unique weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the secondary weapon is also a Bioshock. Very short range blast. It's only melee.
Okay. But it's another stuck shock. It's another electroshocker.
Yeah, it's 2-damage stun recharge. Both of them are pretty loud, though I think the loud for the biomissiles is actually the sound of them flying and screeching while they're flying, not like rockets or...
What's your cockpit like?
It is also
almost but not quite matrixy. We got some plug-in ports and heads-up displays, but not full immersion.
Okay. Where did I go? All right. The problem is I have you guys down here in a weird order. Weird brain port and HUD.
My mech is... it was worth noting that my mech is both agile and temperamental, because I've fiddled with it enough. Not everything interfaces together.
So is this accurate? I wrote down that it's a walker with a mechanical chassis but biological exterior, or just biological weapon.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Okay.
I don't have a strict definition.
So, I pilot the TX-42 Seraph Mark 7. It's an old conquer mech that is pure mechanicalness, mechanical parts. It's a vaguely avian form. Has sort of a sort of a chicken leg, sort of a kind of ends in sort of a claw looking foot. It also has wings on the back. They're not like flappy wings. They're actually just thrusters, but they look kind of like wings. There's three on each side. Hence the Seraph name. Armament wise, it has each arm is an autocannon that is 3 damage loud, close, rapid fire, and AP, and it gets hot.
What kind of ammo do those autocannons use?
Discarding sabots, because against biological targets, that penetrates pretty much everything.
So that's not something you guys can just find on the surface.
And then I also have a short-range missile battery on the top, above the head. 3 damage allowed, close area salvo, limited ammo. Fires a lot of shots, so you can only really fire it a couple times. And a heavy machine gun, 2 damage, loud, close, and hot. The reason most weapons get hot is because the mech also has red line. It's in order to fit more weapons on and make it faster and lighter and overall more responsive, I had to take out the heat sinks. Yes, it's all yours.
Also, I actually have my leather jacket, if you want to warm.
I feel like not only will this be warm, but I feel like I'm the kind of character who always has a blanket wrapped around me. Like, always in wool.
So, I guess,
swaddled.
Being a full mechanical rig, you're not going to have a Matrix-like bio port for your piloting.
Not that anyone else is aware of, except for her. They, unfortunately, the new biomechs are much more responsive and faster than the mechanical ones. And so no one else knows, but there is, in fact, a basically organic nervous system inside this mech that actually allows it to keep up with the organic mechs.
Oh.
So there is, in fact, a brain port. No one knows about it except the only engineer I allow to work on my cockpit.
Oh, so for all your bluster about keeping your hardware pure, you're actually a fraud on the inside.
She probably would keep it pure if she could.
It was purely a practical matter. It just wasn't as responsive. It wasn't as effective.
But I suppose that has gotten you quite a bit of praise from your higher-ups, because you are a fucking ballerina in that thing, considering its, you know, hardware limitations compared with a lot of your peers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this one... I was playing... Eve, and Conrad had me driving the truck. It was just like this really huge, slow... It was an orca, right?
Oh, okay.
And when you go to warp, your speed, your mass determines how quickly you go to warp. But I had figured out, like, Conrad had taught me this trick to go to warp faster, but it requires, like, very careful micromanagement of your keys and like, your hardware subsystems. But I managed to go to warp faster than all the ships that I was escorting, right?
Were escorting you?
Yeah.
If you're the truck.
Yeah.
You're the escort.
Well, they were the miners.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But the point is, the miners are smaller. So I went to warp faster than all of them, and they're all like, how did you do that? It was like, I showed up first, and they were like, man, you are, you're pretty rapid with that thing. And then someone who was driving an even bigger truck said he's a nimble ballerina compared with the Wraith. I forget what it was called. It's like a really, really huge freighter. He's like, well, the orca's a ballerina compared to that thing. And then everyone else was like, no, he just used that go-to-warp fast trick. I was like, nope, I'm a nimble ballerina.
Nimble-rina.
But yeah, despite the wetware, she is still a very good pilot.
All right. Well, I would say because of the wetware. Everyone else thinks it's despite the lack of weather, right?
Fair enough.
Can I request there be times where your ship, or not your ship, your mech does something creepy that you can't explain?
Oh, it has a personality.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that knows this, and I will never acknowledge it to anyone else, but...
Awesome.
She has a personality.
Beautiful.
Alrighty. So we've got... Where's the thing? So we've got Shade, Freddy, Seraph, and Valentina are our mecha. Excellent. And I'm glad that we didn't end up with, like, basically any duplication in terms of chassis, too. Like, you guys could all totally build this thing in Will's forthcoming robot game and not duplicate any parts.
Yep.
Very cool. Alrighty. So let's see here now. So you guys walk into the engineering bay. You're just in time to Miss Reese. How do you feel about Reese, Quartermaster Reese? He's not even really a quartermaster, like I said. He's more of a, is there a name for the guy at the
Master?
Huh?
Shut up.
You guys had like a shop on base that like sold everything, right?
Oh, that would be central issue facility,
yeah.
Which would make him like the NCOIC of that.
Okay,
it's just the non-commissioned officer in charge. Just
okay.
Highest ranking NCO assigned to this. And their job is to be the person that runs it, and then their OIC comes in, and screws everything.
Is there a name for his job?
Supply clerk.
Okay, supply clerk. I'm gonna put that on there.
Or supply sergeant, I would assume. Yeah. I guess he's a lieutenant, isn't he?
I didn't say that.
Oh, who was Luke?
Arnold.
Ah.
The hottie communications officer. Okay. So, right, well, you're in time. So, as you guys are walking in there, Sergeant Reese slips by and he's like, "Don't tell Badge you saw me." And, like, hides behind a rack of rockets.
There's a rack of him? Her?
I'm gonna.
Can we outlaw puns, please?
Hide behind. He would love to hide behind Rocket's rack, but, but in this case, I just have to settle for high explosives. I'm like, hang on, I'm going to hide among these high explosives where it's safe. What do you think of this guy?
Reese has a purpose. He can get the job done if he could focus on it for longer than 20 seconds. I would trade him for a goldfish gladly. Except for the fact that a goldfish would probably fry the circuitry and the admin.
Okay. How do you feel about him, Starfish?
We fucked a few times, but he thinks I'm complicated.
Nice. Alrighty then. Alright, so you guys, so are you each going towards your own mecha? Yeah.
I'm going for the computer showing the status of our mecha and our supplies, such as ammunition and whatnot.
Alright. You note there, so everything seems largely in order. As usual, you're mildly concerned about Badger's ammo supplies.
I carry enough.
For like one sortie. Guess you'd be down there for months.
Well, we have a drop pod, don't we? Don't we have a drop pod of like crap tons of supplies and shit?
You guys need to be, it needs to be able to carry like...
Also, I'm imagining Sabo is like the size of a pencil.
Okay.
So like, I mean, a drum this big...
I assume that you spanned it out at large speed, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we're not expecting to be in combat.
Yeah, fair enough.
You're not going to be shooting every day, every second of every day.
Okay.
Actually, for this, I'm going to contact the Admiral as I note that Badger is still using antiquated rounds. I'm going to contact the Colonel. Excuse me, ma'am. Badger's weaponry is still not using BioWare yet. It does carry a specific purpose because she has the most powerful guns of our group. Is there any way we can schedule a routine supply drop to various locations?
No. No, there is not. We do not have we cannot risk, like, it's a huge risk just launching you guys once. That's why we're launching you together. And the only reason we're sending you in two drop pods is because we don't have a drop pod on a science vessel that's big enough to carry 9 mech. But, do have a whole bunch, I note in our, when we departed, that we did load up a whole bunch of antique ammunition. So, guys don't get into too hot a situation, it shouldn't be too much of a problem. I'm frankly not inclined to deal with Sergeant Badger's bullshit right now. So, you know, if she runs out of ammo, you can come up with something on the ground. You've got that hotshot rookie medic, or you've got that hotshot rookie mice medic with you. I'm sure that he can tear something off of a nearby mice elephant in like a water napalm spraying trunk or something.
Well, ma'am, as I was reading over the specifications of the new STEF technology, it does state that it surrounds the unit. Now, We do have...
Recently, and says, so does a condom, but that doesn't work every time.
I'm trying to use, I wrote my thesis on this right now.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Sometimes you need to just, yeah, just say
yeah. I am 100 miles away from memorizing the moves of the playbooks here, so you're going to have to roll this out.
What I'm trying to do is, I wrote my thesis on this, so I basically instant recognition of what this can do.
Okay.
And our grow lab facilities do have the capability to make basic carapaces that will be able to survive an orbital impact. So what you could do, ma'am, is exit the sun on the far side, and then, using the gravitational pull, launch it through this around the planet and have it make impact onto planet side, and pre-calculate these landing areas now when you pop out and get a picture of the planet. And this is me trying to use technobabble.
I'm with you. Is there what's technobabble?
It gives me a +1 forward to, let's see, when you give an overly technical explanation of why a particular approach to a problem is best, take a +1 forward to do that thing, to convince others to do a thing, or to justify having it done. So basically, I am trying to convince her, when she goes to launch our ships, that when they pop out, they can do the calculation. Since we have faster than light travel, we obviously can calculate orbital paths and all that.
Right.
So we can get a picture of how all these planets orbit together. So then they can calculate on the other end how to use these orbits to launch essentially...
Blind.
Launch them blind, and using that gravity, have them make planet fall at a location where they want with rather pinpoint accuracy.
Okay, what is... So basically, she believes that you know what you're talking about, but... It turns out Vivian's situation is kind of that, like, you know, they put her in charge of missions where the job is not to be detected for a reason. She's very French. Sorry, any French folks listening to the podcast, I had to dip down for the low blow there. The point is, she is famous for never retreating too late. So, you might call her a little bit cowardly. Any way you slice it, you're asking her to go off script and sort of expose the carrier to possible detection. And the fact of the matter is that they can have, you know, something the equivalent of, like, the Enterprise. And I mean the aircraft carrier Enterprise. On their asses in hours if they get detected. So it would not be a good... Certainly much faster than they could get this thing out of here, because you can't warp out of the sun. So, you're gonna have to. You're having to persuade her. Is that heart powers of persuasion, or is that style?
That would be manipulation or manipulate.
Okay, so do some manipulate. All right.
That would be style.
All right.
Am I taking my +1 forward roll to this?
You are.
All right. I'm +1 at all. Oh, it's an 11.
Ooh. All right. Well, you managed to convince her that this plan will be completely safe. You've got exactly what you wanted. You get a map. You basically will have to spend the next couple of hours plotting out a map of the surface of C7. Yeah. I should have called it C5. I keep wanting to say C5.
C4.
C7. Yeah. And where and when these drops will happen, and the carrier will...
I was pretty much going to have it be when we sent our...
Oh, you were going to launch them all at the same time.
No. When we send our communication, they... get that location, and then within, we'll establish, say, a 50-kilometer radius around there is where they'll launch to.
In other words, they'll have a accurate map now, so that when we send them coordinates, they can just launch blindly using the gravity of the planet.
And then we just run and pick it up without any problems at all, because that will never happen.
Yeah. They'll never catch on to us launching giant meteors, or, well, not giant, but supply drops to their planet.
All right. Well, it is done. It is so. How's Freddy feeling?
Nervous. I don't know what it is. Just seems nervous.
Does Freddy know what's coming?
I don't know. I don't know what Freddy knows. I think Freddy is a stupid thing.
Okay.
It has been debrained largely, but it... has some maybe instinctual knowledge that something isn't right through years and years of conditioning.
How many years have you been driving this thing?
I want to say I've been with Freddy for about a year and a half, and I've only been able to take him out the way I wanted to in the last few months, which is part of the reason they made me do the evaluation, because
I wasn't supposed to do it. I got rid of my old scout style thing, and I'm really excited about this new mech.
Did Freddy have a pilot before you?
I think so, and I think that the pilot before me died, in some, like, probably he got shipwrecked, and the guy got concussed or something and died inside.
Okay. But Freddy grew back, but the pilot wasn't so lucky. Fair enough. So, you're talking to her through that terminal, right? Alright, Rocket comes strolling over to the terminal. This is where you're going to have to update Badger's mecha status.
I'll, give the briefest, like, stand to attention, like, as Strike 5 notices me, and then as soon as he, like, turns back to the conversation, I'll fall into use.
Alright.
Wait for him to finish.
Do you have an opinion about this, planetary supply drop trick?
Maybe. But, you know, he's the CEO, and that doesn't seem particularly stupid, so I'm not going to say anything.
All right. Well, you listen to the... You're there for the good part of the explanation, too, so you're convinced. Well, that's good. It looks like the captain's looking out for you.
Yeah.
How do you guys get along?
Probably moderately nicely, at least. I mean, he was willing to go propose a rather ridiculous scheme to get ammo, despite it without, you know, and didn't make me update my weapon systems, so...
From the way you guys talk, it sounded almost like a Zoe mouth going
Yeah,
on.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay, so you guys have actually maybe served together, then?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know what expectation, if Souls of Steel, like, has a solid expectation that this group has been together, or, I mean, obviously the rookie is new, but, you know...
It's story.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we served together.
She was my, platoon sergeant when I was a new lieutenant, and she helped me get the ropes of how it all works, but now that I know more about being in command, we butt heads every now and then, especially with how hot and loose she is.
So she used to actually outrank you?
No.
I was higher ranking than but a low ranking officer.
Basically a fresh officer, whereas I had been a platoon sergeant for a while.
Oh, okay.
So he showed up as a baby-faced lieutenant, and I was just like, okay, here's how it works.
All right.
I'm so glad there are people here who knew how military stuff works.
Well, if there hadn't been, we just would have blithely, you know,
trampled all over the tropes. Trope. Yeah.
I planned this all along with my 4 years of military service.
It's all culminated for this one moment.
All righty.
Yeah.
So, what are you doing? Rocket has strolled over to the terminal to dutifully follow your instructions, and,
I think that I'm inspecting my mech, making sure that no one's fucked with it too badly. Mm. I'm eternally paranoid of the various techs.
The only person down here who would probably be even trying to interact with it.
Well, I meant fuck with it as in, like, tried to repair it and did a clumsy, shitty job of it.
Yes, yeah. That's my point. Like, everyone knows, you know, what the deal is. The only person down here who would even think about trying to screw with it is the junior engineer, who basically reports directly to you. Her name is Stanzi.
What happened? Wasn't it?
I created a new NPC, Junior.
Stanzi.
Yeah, Junior Engineer Specialist Stanzi, who basically is the, you know, your assistant for all intents and purposes. She does not drive.
Is she actually one of my assistants? Because I have two of those.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know.
Well, I have a few. It doesn't. It's not specific.
Well, she would be chief among them then.
Okay.
So she is your right hand woman. What? What's funny?
Nothing. Cool.
Okay.
It's just amusing from military standpoint, because that's how it actually works. The specialist ends up being more useful than most NCOs.
Okay. So yeah, you're, she's the only one down here who would even, attempt to, who would even have the know-how to mess around with a mech that was that mech, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she is terrified to within an inch of her life of you. She avoids having to interact with you under any circumstance. Why is that?
I think that she attempted to do something with my mech one time, and I got in her case so badly, it was like an hour of shouting, and before she could get away from me. And it just kind of scarred her a bit.
Okay. How do do you feel about her, Rocket?
About Sansi?
Yeah.
She's pretty competent, and, you know, she usually puts up with all of my cockamamie schemes, so.
So, you're happy enough with her?
Yeah.
Did you have an assistant before her? Or is she your first?
I think...
Since you were important enough to have staff.
Yeah, I think that's the case, is, like, until recently, I haven't garnered quite the respect as an engineer to acquire assistants.
What got you to that position? Like, why are you such a big shot now?
I think I figured out a more efficient way to connect weapons into the integrated systems of the mechs, which allowed for more direct control and less, like, basically telling the mech that we didn't like a thing and please shoot it.
That's very interesting. So technologically, you guys actually were, like, because you would expect having an AI handle weapons, like, right now, you know, our the direction we're going, like, with advanced fighter jets and stuff like that, is giving the fighter jet more control over what's going on, being like, hey, here's some general ideas, go do damage. And, in this case, it was a technological leap to go the other way. I suppose for bioweapons, that makes a lot of sense. Anything that grows its own grenades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have anything else they want to do on the carrier before it's time to launch?
You said you had time.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of can be addressed at any time.
Okay.
All right. Oh yeah, you guys were going to say something to each other.
Well, so you can just have
him. Okay.
It was not too important.
Well, situation might be more stressful later. I don't want to get that out now.
Well. That's the thing, is actually I think under a more stressful situation is when something this would come up.
Fair enough. We'll let you keep your mysterious secrets, Captain Benson. I like having different names for my players so I can call you all kinds of funny things as necessary. And be like, Winston!
See, when I thought Benson, I immediately thought regular show.
Yeah, I was when you said Captain Benson,
and I was imagining that. Rigby being like, Captain Benson! Captain
Benson! That's exactly what
it was! Benson.
I've actually never seen the regular show. So.
It's actually worth watching. Yeah. It's entertaining. It's very weird, and it's not regular at all. Well, it's regularly irregular.
Yes.
My skeleton. All right. So, flash forward a couple of hours, and you guys are strapping in to the pod. So this is actually a. If you know what I mean!
We're strapping in, get inserted in the drop pod.
Everybody make sure your belts are sufficiently tight.
Thanks, Reese.
I like how Reese is getting more and more like, who is that character that... Some character that sounds like that.
Varric?
Yeah, no, Varric.
Quagmire?
Well, see, I'm
Quagmire, seeing, thank you.
Quagmire, that's... but talking like Varric is in my head what I have. Just showing up.
See, I'm just imagining Malcolm in the Middle. Just that Reese, nonstop.
Yeah, that's
I'm imagining that, except with, like, that over really crappy mustache.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this guy's got, like, the worst mustache. And he's got, like, the that kind of gross...
The slicked back greaser hair?
Not slicked back. It's actually more like a bowl cut, but it's, like, really thin and greasy. You remember Pirates of the Caribbean? The guy with the wooden eye?
Yeah.
He looks like that guy.
Oh. Gross! Gross! Someone was desperate! It was me!
He's not quite that filthy. He's not as filthy as the pirate, but him. Like... But that's his body shape. He's played by that actor.
I'm regretting previous decisions. before I was fully informed on what he looked like.
That's what made your character so desperate, and that's why you failed so hard.
Well, I mean, you do have minus one heart, so, you know.
Yeah, it could have been one of those things like, maybe I can use my feminine wiles to extract what I want from this guy.
He's too gross.
Meanwhile, he's like, oh, yeah!
I will kill you, Reese. I will literally kill you.
You have to catch me first! Yeah, remember, also Tai Chi Master. Every time a girl tries to smack him, he'd be like, Matrix, duh. Anyway, I wish it were getting picked up now.
Once we're done laughing, just listen and remember the fight scenes.
This is the Propellerheads, which is, they did some of this music.
Okay.
This was the fight scene for the scene where, this was the music for the scene where they're in the like, pretend dojo, and Morpheus is trying to teach Neo how to fight.
Yep.
Just the first part, though. This part of the song is way later after it.
This is also soundtrack for Wipeout, which is recent. I mean, not that I dislike the Matrix, but...
Right. Alright, so you guys, take off.
So are we going down to the drop pods in our mechs, or is it, like, a crew area and then equipment area?
The equipment area is separate from the crew area.
Okay.
However, if you want to ride inside your mech, that's just as safe.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I imagine we'd be probably be for a hot insurgent, since this is a hostile planet.
That's kind of what I was expecting.
We don't know exactly what we're going to
be in our mechs.
Hot insertion it is. Then, the way the, like I said, the way the pod works is it's mostly mechanical, actually. It is sort of rocket-shaped, but like a hexagon, and it kind of can telescope back into itself and then close. So there's not that much furniture on the inside. So, like, everything is really thin and light. Everything is retractable, folding out. But when it's done, it's basically just a... electrospun or a DC sponge powered ion booster, which is a thing that can be used to take off in an atmosphere, and a can on top of it, and that's what you guys are in. When you land, it'll you know use retro rockets to slow its descent. So you guys get fired out. You fly through. There's probably going to be some hibernation going on here. You're going to be flying through space for several hours. I mean, it's a trip between planetary orbits, but you are going very fast. That inner planet orbits at absurd speed. So the carrier is actually like, you know, it's trying to stay in orbit in that planet, so that it's always in the shadow, and it can't be seen from C7. There are several habitable moons to C7. C7 is a gas giant, three times the size of Jupiter. It's almost big enough to be a star. Almost. It does emit light, not quite as much as a sun, but,
so it has fusion.
Well, you guys, it emits light for some safer reason.
It could also just reflect the sun.
It is very, it's quite far away. It's much farther away than Jupiter is from our sun, but they also have
like
a bigger sun.
Like electromagnetic field that is like super glowy and shit.
Yeah, something like that. Science-y words.
Molecules and polarity. There's just like so much like electrical storms on it that night, like there's light from the atmosphere.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense because a bolt of lightning in that atmosphere is so tiny and so diffuse that, you know, bolts of lightning can be happening thousands of miles apart at, you know, the odds of any one spot having a bolt of lightning at a time. It's just like a regular lightning storm. Only wrap that around a planet that is, you know, that huge, and it is just like a computer screen. Those LEDs are lighting 24 times a second and then going dark again.
Yeah.
But you can't see them. Anyway, so that's the primary source of light. Their sun is very far away, but it is a big, hot sun, so, you know, like I said, there's several habitable moons around this thing, but it has dozens of moons of a whole, you know, variety of different types. While technically larger than the Earth, this planet is only half as massive, so it has substantially lower gravity, as we discussed in the session creation. You guys know the indigenous flora, I should say, to be highly vertical. The terrain itself is also highly vertical, and there's a science-y reason for it, which described it. As you guys start to, or as the ship enters the gravitational or the gravity well of C, it probably has a name to the locals. Does anyone care to hazard what that name is?
Triumph.
Triumph. I like it.
What's the name of the system again?
Gliese 433. GLIESE. And if you want to look it up, these are real exoplanets. Gliese is thought to have two planets. One is a super Earth that is barely outside the outside of the sun's atmosphere, and the other is a colossal gas giant that is like three times as far, that is farther out than our solar system is wide. Their year is like a decade. It takes that thing a long time to go around. Actually, it's probably several decades, come to think of it. You did?
It's a long-ass time. Well, longest time, like, a year ago.
I mean, there's numerous, at least it's a constellation. Yeah. There's numerous stars.
They have, like, this crowd, you know, the crowdsourced science projects. And so you can do things.
Gliese is the constellation with the richest number of exoplanets so far detected. Earlier this year, I think it was, or maybe it was last year, they came out and were like, oh, we've discovered a crap shit ton of exoplanets, like 500. But
I want to say they boosted it by over 1,000.
No, because there's not 1,000 exoplanets discovered.
Well, it has to do with how they're categorizing it as planets versus dwarf planets. So there's over 1,000, including dwarf planets.
It's true. Another thing that I noticed in researching exoplanets is that there's a force on the internet for trying to erase their existence.
Yeah.
Like every Wikipedia entry for an exoplanet has a section describing how its existence has been debunked.
Because it's so easy to prove. You just go there. And there's nothing there, and then you come back, and you're like, hey.
Well, no. It's always some cosmic noise was not accounted for in the detection process, and then when they account for that noise, there's no longer any sign that there's a planet there.
My immediate opinion of these people that do that is they're like the guys who try to claim off a speeding ticket because the cop's radar wasn't calibrated.
I think it's more of a religious thing. If there are lots and lots of other planets in the universe, then God must not love us as much.
I think it's a religious thing also, but I think it's a scientific religious thing. In terms of there being current models that people really want to stick to, and a lot of exoplanets create shit for it.
I propose to get back to playing the game.
I'm sorry about that. Okay, so anyway, as you guys are starting to enter the gravity well, which means you're still quite a ways out, but you're inside the orbit of some of the moon. The pilot, who comes on the intercom, which, you know, you guys can hear inside your magazine, like, we have a problem. We have a really big problem. There is a pod of life forms approaching us. And we've lost contact with, what was the other?
Apollo's Fist.
Yeah, we've lost contact with Apollo's Fist, so we don't have, Chet to tell us what they are. Captain Benson, do you think you could maybe come up here and take a look?
Just display an image of it on my...
Oh, okay. They send a thing that's like, well, yeah, there's basically a pod of space whales heading towards you guys. They're not whales, you know. For example, they have some kind of built-in, like, particle acceleration engine that lets them move through space. But these are a semi-known mice, tech life form. You can't tell if they are, if they have any passengers, but there seem to be babies in this group, so it looks more like it might be a wild pod.
So, a wild pod of us, okay.
But it is definitely heading, it is right in your guys' path. You're gonna collide with them.
Alright. So, just from a mechanics perspective, this would be an application of, I wrote my thesis on this to understand
exactly what's going on. Yeah.
Exactly what they're, well, I was assuming my guys' ability is what these things are capable of based on what he observed. Mm-hmm. Such as, can they destroy this in a second? Can they destroy it in 5 minutes? Will they destroy it in 10 days? That type of thing.
Okay.
Or, like, if they feed off of something like this besides...
So do you get this for free, or do you roll brains?
This is your move. This is not wrap your head around a problem.
You don't need time alone to wrap your head around a problem. You can do it right then and there.
So basically, he can do the, you've got time to wrap your brain around a problem without needing the time.
Okay.
So it's within his purview.
Okay. Yeah.
What's Rita Sitch? Or is that combat only? Or is that one-on-one?
Well,
I don't have the thing in front of me right now.
So there's Rita Tent's social situation, which is heart, and then there is assess the situation, which is brains.
Okay.
And I would most certainly be trying to assess it to figure out best course of action based on what I believe these creatures could do to the drop pod.
Okay. Well, so do you have to? So what do I do in this situation? Is this probably a wrap your head around a problem?
Yes. If he's doing his I wrote my thesis on this, then he can do, he gets to roll, wrap his head around it. It just doesn't have to take any time to do it. So he just do it right here. It's like, hey, I know shit. And then he rolls to see how much he knows.
It should be noted that these things, these landers are not meant to travel around. I mean, like, you know, you would fire them at a planet, right? Mm-hmm. They were able to handle a long distance in this case, but it's not like they're full of sensors and stuff like that. This is a visual confirmation. You know, the cameras on the outside can telescope for quite a distance. So you've got minutes, but...
So essentially I could take a quick glance at them, based on my power, assess what, if these things are a hazard as a roadblock, or they're going to start firing at us.
All right. We'll roll it.
3 + 2 = 5.
Have we passed a roll yet?
Yes.
Yes.
I passed one earlier.
Yeah, he convinced the admiral.
That's right. You got to town that one.
Okay, so, the only thing you know is that this is the species that the mice prefer for their outer space combat craft. Because, of course, most of their technologies are an animal adapted into a machine, right? This, as far as you're concerned, is probably a patrol. And they're probably, if you see them, then they damn sure see you. So it might be in a mission compromised already situation. The good news is, your mechs can crawl out on the outside of this rocket and try to do something about it if you wanted to.
Pilot, best case scenario is that they already know about us, so we have to dodge and get away from them as quickly as possible. We might be under a direct assault, though, so we're going to deploy and attempt to knock them out of our way. But be prepared to dodge.
Yes, sir, Captain. He's like, oh, frick, oh, frick, oh, frick. This thing is like a goddamn bumper car.
Bumper cars are maneuverable left or right very rapidly. Just normally there are other bumper cars in the way.
They don't generally go very well in three dimensions.
They're trying to drive...
Or in the vacuum of space.
Yeah. Trying to drive a bullet.
Or off the course.
Backwards. Because probably could fly an ass first.
Surrounded by whales! What a terrible ride!
Damn it, Aquaman was right all the time.
So, you're melee only, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're probably... Do you want to deploy?
Oh, fuck yes.
Okay, so I think we're deploying.
Alright.
So, is there some way I handle the transition? Besides everybody setting up their nifty screens in front of themselves?
I think that handles it well. It is just individual taste.
Okay.
If you want to go, like, get some, from the old MechWarrior games, you get the little computer that's like, where are my weapon systems? Online. All systems active.
Matriculating splines. You're good.
I forgot about matriculating splines.
Matriculating splines. If you know what I mean!
Just be glad you're not coming out with us, Reese.
Reese is gonna die the way he lived!
A jackass?
Kraken, why?
He's cracking once. Sorry.
I'm gonna have that man loaded into our torpedo and launched at the enemy. They won't know what hit them.
We could write Reese on the outside of the torpedo, and then they would.
Stancy's like, why do I have to sit next to him? Lieutenant Arnold says, because I outrank you. Alrighty. It's actually, again, the handy thing about this rocket is, sides just open right up. So, basically the top layer, which is what you guys were in, just irises open. And, you can crawl right out onto the exterior. All of you guys are rigged for, vertical, ascent combat, as is often the case on Mice Worlds. So you can crawl around on the outside of this thing with no fear of hurling off into space. Also, you have exactly as much momentum as it, so you travel with it for a little while before flying off, but who here has, so you have thrusters.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually, if you do lose traction and get lost in space, you can actually, rocket your way back.
Right.
How's Freddy do in that regard?
Freddy's a clinger. He looks to cling.
Freddy's more of a jumper. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
How about Shade?
Shade is a clinger, but I would assume since it's so armored, it would have like very limited like little air puffs essentially of thrust.
Okay, so it has like
So it's going to be like...
compressed. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. It has compressed hydrogen boosters.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it can get a little bit of a oomph, but it can't travel.
All right. And last but not least, that Valentina. That's its name. So how's Valentina roll?
She is very agile.
So probably boosters then?
Yeah. I don't actually have jet boost, but can do limited flight, so she'd be fine.
All right. Everyone's going to have to be vent shut right about now because, you know, you guys don't actually have rebreathers. But you've got air for as long as it'll take to find out whether you live. Alrighty.
Total party members.
Actually, honestly, my mech probably does have air because I don't have a scrubber.
Yeah.
I don't have the sponge thing.
I think the sponge is pretty ubiquitous, because okay. it's too convenient a power source, since it all but does not need fuel.
Okay.
They can run for a long time on a little bit of electroplasm.
Okay.
That was something that, I mean, if it's real important to you, I won't force it, but it's something that Will and I kind of agreed on, that this would be the unifying mechanical detail to both sides.
It's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
It just gives my character something to bitch about.
Alright. Alright, so you have... Actually, you can see the farthest. You have visual confirmation. Freddy's eyes are quite sharp. There are 17 of them. Probably 5 are smaller than one of your mechs, which means they are bitty. How big are you guys, by the way? I think we agreed 15 feet, yeah.
Mine's an actual small mech, so I'm probably closer to 10 or 12.
Well, at 10 or 12, the space that you occupy is going to be a meaningful chunk of the chassis. Okay. Understood. Okay, well, anyway, so yeah, there's several in there where it's like, it's pretty, those are real small. If they're packing any kind of ordnance, they would be hard-pressed to harm you.
They're infantry.
These things are basically shaped like a seed. I'm not going to take the time to dig the picture up, but, like, imagine a thing that, you know, a better example would be a tick. Except it's got a little hole in the front and a big hole in the back and, like, slightly blue illuminated particles emanating out the back of it.
So, there's a thing called beginning of session moves. I have a beginning of battle move.
Okay.
I'm an ace pilot. So, 6.
What are you doing?
I'm an ace pilot. When you go into battle, roll plus fire. On a 10 plus, hold 3. I didn't get a 10 plus. 7 to 9, hold 2. I didn't get that either. On a miss, hold 1, but take -1 for the battle. During the battle, you can spend the hold 1 for 1 to do some specific things.
Well,
I basically have a -1 ongoing.
but you hold 1, so you can dodge it. You can ditch it once.
I can either name a specific enemy I can attack directly and kill, disable, or disarm them.
Oh, right, I remember
I can
this.
Name a specific enemy I can attack directly and redirect their attack to another target or nowhere. Name an enemy you can't attack directly and close a distance to them. Or name a nearby character or asset and intercept attacks directed at them. Or ignore all damage from an ingoing attack. So I've got one freebie. All
right. Well, I'm going to say that your penalty is you get outside that thing, and you have never, and I mean never, been in the vacuum of space. Like, you're a planet-side kind of gal, and the, when you've gone down, you've always gone down in a lander. You've never been, like, on a spacewalk. And the HUD and the mech and, like, just looking out there and just stars. Except for this huge goddamn green planet.
Mm-hmm.
And space ticks coming at you with bad intentions. So you are your knees are knocking together. You are super uncomfortable. This is not your comfort zone. Anybody else got anything that they that's a very beginning thing? All right. Well, as I was saying, there's 5 that are really bitty, and there's 5 that are pretty colossal. Like if they ran into your rocket, which is not a telemetry any of you guys can just do in your head. But if the rocket were to hit one of those things, it would just be like, and that would be the end of the rocket. So they, in other words, their size is very wildly. And then the other 7 are in various stages in between. The whole cluster is, the smaller ones are more in the center, and the bigger ones are up front, so they're the closest ones to you. So, who wants to open fire?
How far are they?
They're within long range.
Is that closer or further than far?
That's fine. Oh, sorry. I didn't remember. I thought it was close range, long range, and melee.
It's melee, very close, far and very far.
Oh, okay. Does anybody, can anybody engage it very far?
I cannot. The sniper's the only one.
That engages there. Okay, yeah.
How does ECM work? Because I've got that. And I know it interferes with enemy communications and guidance.
It works in the way that makes sense to the players and the GM. It's not mechanically regulated.
So any of the abilities you have that are a tag, basically, some of them allow you to do things that would be like, hey, since I have ECM, I want to try to disrupt their communications. What kind of role would that be? The other thing you can use them for is by just, if you can work it into, you know, why it would be relevant, you get a plus one to the role.
Okay, then I want to use my ECM to try and disrupt their guidance systems to make it appear as though we are going a slightly different, such as when they see us, it looks like we're, if it looks like we're heading straight at
them. You're trying to throw a mirage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since I'm kind of guessing that ECM kind of is more of a, affects their actual biology, which probably all of that's operated the same way.
I would say probably roll brains.
Okay.
Is that a situation where I should ask him to roll?
I think that seems reasonable, yeah. Right.
I'm sort of going, I'm a little bit governed by the old D&D principle here, where it's like, okay, roll for it.
13. Nice.
Oh, wow. Blown away. All right. You're not 100% sure what these things deal is. Like, you know.
Quick reminder, Blake. There's actually only 3 levels of success unless you're advanced. 10 is just as good as a 13.
I know.
Okay. But a 10 is still
a 13 is still an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Okay. But you are extremely familiar with the kinds of, telepathic, you say when rolling your eyes, communications that mice tech uses to communicate among each other. I mean, it's sort of a like a sub radio type of communication, but you're like I don't know what they are, but I am damn sure that I can disrupt, you know, that I can make them think, that I can show them the picture I want to show them. So you've got a very good ECM hit going on here. You feel really good about it.
My weapons are close range.
Okay.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
They're strike 5. They are coming into my targeting range. Do I open fire?
Captain.
What's up?
You're being asked for permission to engage.
Rocket, hold fire until hostile presence has been actually confirmed. We're not sure if this is a wild herd or actual enemy combatants. If we're able to dodge, no point in giving away our position.
How do you, how does respect get allocated in combat? I can't remember if it's DM just says so.
It's based off of the moves.
Okay.
Most of them, on a 10+, you get respect. There is a couple weird ones, though. I think Come to the Rescue, right? But yeah, since it wasn't actually a move, that actually might need to be addressed, is if we do just a generic. Because you just had him roll with brains. So I don't know. At that point, I'll probably just say it's up to you if he gets respect. Most of them are like on a 10+.
Who assess the situation doesn't get respect, even in combat.
Right.
But that's the ECM attack was an actual...
That's why I said it's up to you, since it's not an actual official move.
Okay. Do you usually gain respect for getting a 10 on most of the other, like...
Yeah, pretty much.
Offensive stuff? Yeah. Okay. Then I think that deserves a respect, so take one. Take one for the ECM hit. Okay.
Well, I'm going to try and assess the situation then. He's telling me to stand firm, but they look like they're coming right at us.
They sure do. And they're coming at you real, real fast.
Nope. That's 5. Because I got -1 and -1.
So you just get nothing then? Is that in such a situation? You don't have to, like...
You make a hard move.
Oh, I make a hard move. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's a assess the situation.
Hang on. I want to double check my hard move list.
Basically, some shitty consequence.
Yeah.
Yeah, something bad happens.
But I'm looking for some inspiration.
You know what? They do have guns.
You're pretty sure that big one right in the front, right front and center, is heading right for you. Like, at this point, you're like, cause remember, the speeds involved here, both them and you are moving faster than a bullet. So, as when you're looking at the sharp end, it seems like it's getting real big real fast. So you just let fly with whatever you can hurt this thing with.
All right, well then I'll start blazing those in their guns and release some hornets at it. Fire. Jesus Christ, I can't roll today.
No, I just can't.
That is a 5. So yeah.
Well, then, then true to your character's, like, panicky mosaic right here, is like, shit, space, ticks, bullets, missiles everywhere. It's a Macross missile.
Moment.
But they don't exactly hit much. But they do fly all over the hell over the place, and they spook the hell out of the space whales.
How about we have whales in every campaign somehow?
Well, actually, these things, you know, they may be whales, and they are certainly super big, but they're also native to the vacuum of space. So they can whip around, like, you know, pretty well. So they actually scatter. Which is super handy, because none of them are heading straight for you anymore now. But they also, like, imagine, have you seen in, not to go back to The Matrix, but I guess it's in The Matrix Revolutions when the little squid monsters burst, like, break into the dome of Zion, and they, like, fan out and start circling around. To come at a thing from every angle. So the good news is this, like, cluster of huge space ticks that was heading straight for you suddenly goes, psh, and then they're changing direction, and now they're kind of heading right for you. But the good news is that they're no longer a cohesive unit, so you guys can sort of select targets. The little ones have scattered and actually seem like they're more or less fleeing for their lives, as some of the medium ones have broken off with them as well. So probably... there are 8 that are your problem now, including the 5 big ones.
Okay. Well, as soon as they're within my weapon range, I'm opening fire.
What? So you're close range, right?
Everything I have is close.
Yeah. What? How close a range is close range?
Depends on the scale of the mechs. In this universe, probably, maybe 1,000 meters.
Yeah, I mean, they're chain guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Alright, you have range now. The smaller of the 8 that aren't quite naturally able to change direction much more quickly. Mm-hmm. So they've sort of ended up in a vanguard position. Okay. These are a little bigger than your mechs. They're probably 20 feet in diameter.
All right. Well, in battle, I count as a squad. And I have automatic weapons, which means I can do damage to multiple opponents or focus fire. In this particular instance, I would like to spread my damage out and hit multiple people.
Go for it.
And let's open fire with an 11.
Ah, well. All right. So how many things can you shoot at?
Narrative. It just says, it's a tag. It's just whatever the fiction dictates.
Okay.
Well, it basically means that I can just kind of spread my fire out.
Well, they're not real close to each other, so I'm going to say that you're probably going to have to train one autocannon on each, so you can only kill one with each hand.
Okay.
However you totally do.
Okay.
They're coming at you, and you start hitting them with those Sabo rounds, and you just shred them. They just fall apart, and like they never knew what hit them. Notably, they did not actually fire on you with anything. Though none of you guys are 100% clear what the armaments of some of these kind of things are. I mean, like, the big ones don't even need to shoot you. If they can just make contact with the rocket physically, it's all over. Like, you will all be tumbling in space, and if, you know, the inertia doesn't kill you instantly and liquefy your bones, then you'll can look forward to dying in space. What do you got?
All right. Badger, instead of focusing on removing enemy units, focus fire and clear our path. We're not here to kill them. We're here to get through them and get to the planet side.
Aw.
They're coming our way. I'm shooting threats, sir.
The threat is in our way, Sergeant.
There is nothing in our way.
And maintain that posture. And I'll start opening fire on the closest one to get into the...
Okay. Okay, so
you just told me to shoot at nothing.
I told you to make sure that the one that is likely to get in front of us is the one you shoot at.
Okay.
They were coming at you kind of laterally. So you guys are going for the planet. These are coming in this way. So you're going to meet, like, here, right? About here, the missiles scattered them. So actually, some of them are in front and some of them are behind.
Oh, okay. I assumed we were already in front. We were coming head on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since Captain has made the has chided you for not shooting what's in front of you, we're going to say you killed some of the ones that were behind. Because they looked juicy.
They were right there! They flew too close to my guns!
Alright. The littlest of the big 5, the littlest of the adults, we're going to call them, is directly in your path. Rocket's going to plow right into it and going to lose that fight.
My goal is to target and either drive it off or make sure it's not there. I'm going to focus fire probably on its eyes or some sensitive-looking area on it.
Okay.
Glowing weak spot.
I assume that these...
They don't have eyes. Again, you're not super familiar. You assume they have some kind of internal sensory organ, probably infrared. Okay. You know, they do hang out in space where they get bombarded by pretty severe radiation all the time. So they're not going to have... They're pretty seamless, actually. They probably open up in some way, but, you know, as you're starting to get a pretty good look at them, they're pretty smooth.
Okay, well, I'm just going to target with the grinder.
I haven't forgotten about you. It's just not in a melee situation. You're all melee, right?
But I can do other things that are relevant to this.
Okay. Well, what do you got to do?
I was hoping to use Alien Mind.
Ooh. Ah, yes, of course. You can reach out and attempt to communicate with them. All right.
My justification being Freddy has been acting fucking weird, and Freddy tends to, sometimes you should just trust him.
All right.
So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the thing that, for whatever reason, makes sense right now, which is... I'm essentially trying to scream at them the thought, disperse, disperse, accident, disperse.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know what I need to do for that. That is DM caveat.
Hmm.
I don't know anything about space whales.
I find myself wanting it to be heart, but I also don't want to make you roll heart.
Well, I roll analytic with... Well, I... No, only for one thing.
What is that?
That's just for, reading tense social situation.
Be a bit of a stretch.
I wonder if,
Let's make it... You know what? I'm actually gonna call it steel.
Okay.
This is definitely for trying to control Freddy's, you know, biological functions that way is very much an exercise in emotional mastery.
Okay, let me see what I can do. That is an 8.
All right. Keeping in mind that most of my species are, like I said, connected by this kind of hive mind sub-radio communication. You reach out with that and spook them. It's basically kind of barking, you know, because it's a communication in ideas, not in words, which of course you're very familiar with. Let's see here now. Should I just tell you guys what happens, or is this something people might need to roll to read to see what's going on?
Well, that was a mixed result, so something shitty should be happening, even if something good happened.
Right. But I'm trying to think if this is something where it should be, maybe you guys aren't 100%, maybe it's not obvious what the impact is, but you can roll to see what the impact is, which would be, assess the situation. But assess the situation is also ask specific questions.
Yes.
It's not the kind of thing where I'm supposed to tell you guys, hey, assess the situation, right?
You can, if it seems appropriate and people aren't asking, you can say you might want to assess the situation.
Okay. Well, you know what, I'm just going to say, so it seems like they certainly react. Like, you can see, like, a physical convulsion in them when they hear that message. Two of the big ones... like, start to arrest their momentum slightly, but the biggest one, the Mac Daddy, which is not the one that's directly in your path, but is definitely on a collision course, it actually surges forward and seems to be coming at you. Rocket, redeem yourself. The situation is that you've got, now, what did I say, 4. You've got 4 space ticks that are your guy's problem. One is... the mother of all living space obstacles, and it wants to make a collision happen with you. One of them is the smallest among the remaining 4 is in your guy's way. You're gonna plow into it. If something doesn't happen before then. The other 2 are still kind of hooking around to flanking position.
Alright, well, I got their attention before. I'm going to try to intentionally draw aggro. And I'm going to launch myself a little bit off the side of the ship and fire some more hornets at it.
Okay. So which one?
The one that's directly in front of us.
Okay. The obstacle. Right.
Yeah. So intentionally draw aggro is plus fire. That's a 7.
Okay. That's a success.
Why is it a 7 fire?
Because I'm a mace pilot who is
great, because you're at a minus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Just little bit dizzy. Little bit,
still be an 8, though. Because you get a plus 2 fire and then a minus 1, it's still a net plus 1.
All right. 7, 8. So that'd be a 9.
Yeah.
Still
7 to draw the attention of the one.
You may either hold your objective, taking damage, or safely give... No, I'm looking at the wrong one. On a hit, your allies take plus 1 against the enemy as long as you keep their attention and you gain respect. On a 7 and 9, you can't avoid taking damage, but you still get respect.
Interesting.
Don't put my coffee. You didn't. Put it on the floor.
I know. I'm just telling you that I didn't mean to.
Alright. So now, do I still get to shoot at it, or is this just pulling my...
All of the combat moves are objective-oriented, not mm-hmm. action-oriented. So drawing aggro could be shooting it. However, the goal of the action was to get its attention.
Right.
At DM discretion, that could be getting its attention by causing damage, or getting its attention by just firing rounds past its face. Mm-hmm. Or by doing something else.
Alright.
The important thing with the combat moves is to remember that they're goal-oriented.
Yeah.
Alright. So this thing is, I wish
I'd had fire highlighted.
Sorry.
It's okay, it's just I've rolled it 3 times.
What did we highlight for you? Brains and...
Style and steel.
Style and steel, okay.
Yeah. It's fine.
Well, you know what? That can still come in handy. So this one, I mean, it's coming up on you guys really fast. In fact, I'm going to say that it accelerates toward you. I keep wanting to say roll perception.
20s are upstairs.
Strike 5. Assess the situation.
Okay. I got an 11.
All right. Well, at this point, it's become clear to you, or at this point, as you guys are starting to get real close to them, and then remember, this is all happening in seconds. Like, this whole thing is kind of bullet time. It's clear to you that your ECM attack actually worked really well. And they are... the ones that seem like they're trying to come for you are actually aiming for a point just slightly off of the rocket itself. For the big one, this might not be enough. It might just nick you. For the little one that Rocket just attracted the attention of, it is basically trying to crash right into Rocket's face. But it doesn't know exactly where Rocket's face is. So it's sort of wobbling around as it's coming towards you guys. But it seems like this one it's likely to miss. Not 100%, but it's likely to miss.
Okay. Hilarious, yeah. My plan for my turn was to assess our tactical situation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Essentially, I just wanted to get a feel for what our attacks are doing so I could adjust fire accordingly.
The other two, meanwhile, have actually sort of arrested their assault. They're kind of pacing you. But you get the impression, I mean, again, it's like watching animals behave, and you get the impression they're like, big guy's got this, maybe we don't need to go into this thing that is spitting hot fire and missiles and razor-sharp blades and...
stinging explodey bugs.
And barking at us. which brings us to the badger.
So, there is a giant one bearing on us, and a medium-sized one in our way. XP.
Yes.
Oh.
Anytime you roll those two stats.
But the giant one is... Well, actually, I'm assuming you convey this information to...
Yes.
You're going to have to do it in, like, a quick shout. You've only got moments before the impact. Everything's moving very quickly. So you know all the stuff I just described, but informing other people of that, you need to choose your words carefully.
Focus fire, large target, primary objective.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that means let's alpha strike this motherfucker.
Okay. Yeah, it is close now. It will be melee by the end of your turn.
So this means I get to shoot. So I'm going to open all of my weapons, all 3 of them, mm-hmm. which means I get to fire all of them. However, I have a pretty decent chance of overloading my systems. Okay. So let's do this. That's an 11. So that thing takes 3 damage AP for my autocannon, 3 damage area, not that it matters, for my SRMs, and another 2 damage.
Actually, area may be relevant because...
it's big.
Yeah, because it's so big that an area attack can hit it twice.
Fair enough. And then my heavy machine gun does an additional 2 damage to it.
Okay.
However, so... my Alpha Strike... Okay, yeah. So now I need to see if I overload, and oh fuck yeah, I overload. So, I added a +3 to that because I fired 3 weapons. Oh. And
take respect for your barking.
Oh, sweet. And I am out of commission until I can get my systems back online. Basically, I'm just overheated. Have you ever played MechWarrior or
okay.
whatever you deem relevant?
All right,
something is out of sorts.
So, you did. I'm not yet completely emotionally familiar with the damage economy of this game, but pretty much enough to kill everyone you've ever met.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did not kill it, but you definitely made it turn. You definitely taught that big son of a bitch that he was biting off more than he could chew. So it veers off at the last minute. It's like, largely just to get out of the hail of Sabo rounds. As it's just like, oh! So the situation now is that there are two biggies pacing you guys now. They've basically moved into unison with you, probably just inside close range. And the smaller big one, who is big enough that the rocket couldn't survive hitting it, but it couldn't survive getting hit either, is directly in your guy's path and is trying to line itself up so that it can just body slam Rocket's mech. But it can't see you guys real clearly with between the ECM attack and the missile or the missiles to draw aggro. It's sort of wobbling around in you guys' path. You have last action before the impact.
Last? Okay.
This thing, I'll tell you the same thing I told her. The obstacle, the little guy in your way, will be in melee by the end of your turn.
Okay.
But it will only be in melee for a fraction of a second.
Could I grapple it?
This
is the little big guy, or the
little
guy? Yeah,
this is the little bit. This is the one okay. that you don't want to run, that you don't want the rocket cool. to run into. If you were to grapple it, if you were to grapple it, you would either lose contact with the rocket and be hanging on to it, because I mean it's heavier than you, but not heavier than the rocket. Mm-hmm. If you were to hold on to the rocket, it would probably cause you to you would suddenly gain a lot of mass on the rocket, and you guys would start spinning out of control. So you could certainly grapple it if you want to, but it might be ill advised unless it was some kind of leaping attack, in which case then you'd have the problem of getting back.
I think the last thing I'm going to do is create drama for next session by calling out for help using Alien Mind.
Okay.
So just some sort of, like, instinctual scream for help that hopefully something will hear.
That one I want heart for.
All right. Ooh, I want to fail bad on this one.
I want wild success. Okay, yeah.
No, I feel bad.
Crash and burn.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Well, good news, everyone. The little biggie, the obstacle, does not hit the rocket. And it doesn't hit you much. But it's like a city bus hitting you in the shoulder.
Mm.
So your mech is definitely damaged. I'm not sure, do I just roll any kind of damage, or do I just take damage?
Just takes damage.
Okay.
However much damage you think it should be.
I need to look at the thing again, I'm sorry. This is mech damage. I'm thinking you may have lost an arm.
Okay.
Unless that's, like, too severe a,
Generally speaking,
Because you got the aggro, you saved the rocket, but you couldn't avoid taking damage.
Okay. How much damage?
I'm trying to look at this.
Because I do have armor.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay. Okay, about damage. That shit is literal. That's not helpful.
Also, generally speaking, the player can choose where they take damage.
Oh, okay.
You just say, take 2 damage, and the player can then shunt it onto the pilot or the mech, and the location is as narrative. No, occasionally you might have a sniper NPC that targets specific
okay.
things, but...
Well, no, this is definitely
not... Or it makes
not...
narrative sense for whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Saying. But generally speaking...
You take damage from walking in lava, it's going to be the legs.
Right, exactly.
So how much damage can a thing take? I'm not seeing a... So oh, we have boxes.
Our mechs can each take five... so they have six damage points, and the pilot has six damage points.
Okay.
When any one is completely full up, then you're incapacitated.
Okay. You take two.
Okay. So then... And I assume it's not armor-piercing?
No.
Take it on yourself. Who cares?
I'm an engineer. I can fix it. So I think it's actually going to be the left leg, because... As it gets right into range, I shock it and stun it.
Okay.
Which looks flashy, but I don't think it actually wanted to hit me any more than I wanted to hit it. It's just, at the last second, it was stunned and could no longer maneuver.
Mm.
And I tried to, like, leap off of it to get back to the ship.
It was a sickening crunch.
Really. Yeah. Okay. So if it's okay, I want to do something gutsy, which is the shoot it and then leap off to get back to the rocket.
Do it. Is it style?
Yes. I think.
Yeah, that's style.
So, that's seven. You do it barely. You respect, but command can then make a hard move.
Okay.
So maybe I take more damage than I expect.
Honey Bunny, that's an eight. Oh, because you're ongoing. That's right.
Yep. No, I can do math.
Let me see here now. Alright, the hard move I'm making is that... So what exactly was the goal of that? To try and get back to the ship?
To get back to the ship and to incapacitate the thing that was coming at us.
Okay, like, well, you certainly incapacitated the thing that was coming at... So because you barely made it, do I have to give you both those things, incapacitated and get back to the ship? Because what I want to do is say you definitely took out the critter, but you're not on your way back to the ship.
Sounds like a 7-9 to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anybody else want to do something about this?
Well, I am... Oh, wait, no, I'm shut down. I can't help with my flight.
He's not... It's not like he boinged into space, you know, like straight away from the ship. Either of you can still attempt to do something about this.
Oh, shit. Let's do that.
Because you have long tails.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna try to do some gutsy.
But you are separated from the mass of the rocket, and you are tumbling uncontrollably, so there's no way you're gonna, like, be able to boost yourself back to the thing. You're having a gravity moment right now.
I'm gonna try to grab on.
And I am going to assist her by, I am going to help a squadmate with their action roll by, I grapple on and give her that extra distance.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So, who rolls first?
The assisting rolls first.
Oh, really?
Yes. There you go.
What do you roll?
Let's see. Because we have a positive relationship, I get a plus two, and if I roll a hit...
Is this plus bond, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ish, yeah.
Okay, I got a hit. I got a 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, bonds don't have a value.
All right, the shade kind of, like, grabs on to the... to the ship with its forward pinchers and sort of, like, holds itself out, and you can run down the length of its body to get a good 15 feet away from the rocket before you have to whip around.
And that is an 8.
So that bumps it up to a 10.
Awesome.
Because of helpings.
Excellent. All right, well, you run out there and...
Straight hit increment, right? Not
yes,
value.
That's why an 8 bumps up to a 10.
Swing that tail out and wrap it around Hornet's good leg.
It's a... Not Valentina.
Valentina's good leg.
Hornets and missiles.
Hornets and missiles, yeah.
Kill that one!
So you can haul her back in, and...
That's what I do.
Awesome. All right. Well, you guys, these two on either side are still moving in unison with you guys, but don't seem to be making any aggressive moves.
Kaylin, you do get respect for that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Oh, and I should have got respect for the gutsy.
Yes. Okay, take it.
Anyone?
Also, do you get respect for the assist?
No, not believe so.
Okay. I feel kind of inclined to give it, just because I don't feel like enough respect got handed out this fight. But, yeah, you know what? Take it. As the GM, I'm saying so. You can apply that to your test data as to whether or not it was a good idea. Well, no, I mean, like, you know, if you decide that was a good idea later and be like, oh, okay. Then
no, I know. I'm going to write it down so I can remember to think about it.
Alright, so anyway, you guys have a situation. You've got two of these things on either side of you. They're clearly moving in unison with you. Though, you know, again, they can't see exactly where you are. They are still pretty confused from your ECM Mirage. But it's about time to get back inside that rocket, because you guys are going to be coming into that atmosphere any second now.
Let's try to do that.
Yeah, let's try to do that. Okay. So, I think that I am going to... Well, I need to... Because I am out of commission until I can get my systems back online. So I don't know exactly what you want me to do for that.
Well, I'm assuming you're at least... I'm assuming you're out of commission weapon-wise. You can probably still crawl back inside the rocket. If not, you can have one of them drag you in.
Okay.
Actually, I have a move for repairing mechs, so...
Oh!
Okay. I was thinking it was more of like a heat shutdown.
Oh, okay.
Because my mech gets hot.
That's a better way of doing it in light of having someone who can fix it.
But even the the heat sinks you have aren't going to work as well in space.
Right.
Because there's no atmosphere to vent to.
Mm-hmm.
As odd as it sounds, even though space is cold, space is really hot for things that...
are already hot.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm going to try and repair your vehicle and just get it working again, hobbling over to you. So I guess this would be jury rig?
Mm-hmm.
Since I'm not trying to fix damage. Right. Roll plus tech, and that is a 10. Am I still taking minus 1 for the battle, or are we far enough past that?
Yes, because the reason why I said you're taking minus 1 is because you're in space, and you are...
Well, let me assist. Ooh, that's only a 6. Nope, that sucks.
So what was your total result again?
So 7. I just get 1 instead of 2. Okay. Your mech will hold for a little while.
Well, all I have to do is get inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is so.
I'm going to say I vent some of the heat from your mech into mine, but it's still overheating. So it's enough to basically, like...
Hold, warm hug.
Yes, I'm holding your mech, pulling the heat out long enough for you to get inside, and your mech makes it easier for me to get inside because I've got a broken leg. And then...
Teamwork! Like,
as soon as we're inside, I let you go, because my mech's overheating like balls.
It's so nice to never have to worry about overheating. Unless you're, like, on fire. Okay.
While we're making our way inside, I'm going to get in communications with the pilot. Mm-hmm. Feed me all the data you can on their telemetry.
Telemetry?
That word. As they are approaching the planet in regards to ours, and I'm going to be attempting to assess the situation to try and ask my questions.
Okay. Do it.
That is a 10, which would be ask 3.
Mm-hmm.
What is the enemy's strategy?
I don't know if it would be insufficient. Because you get 2 more questions, I'm going to answer in a somewhat cryptic manner. There isn't one.
How can we use the battlefield to our advantage?
Spacefaring life forms generally tend not to enter and leave atmospheres a lot. So they will probably peel off upon reentry of their own accord unless they want to try and do something about you first.
What is the enemy hiding?
Their fear.
I'm going to get back on the comment. Pilot, how long can you keep us in the lower atmosphere so that these things will have a harder time figuring out where we land?
Once we ignite, like once we hit atmosphere, I basically have lost all navigational capability. This thing pretty much has to autopilot to the ground. It's the only way to live.
Is there anything you can jury rig?
Not really. It's not like we have wings. We're a rocket ship.
Let's not jury rig the thing that's keeping us from dying a very horrible and quick death.
To be fair, you could probably survive reentry, just not impact.
Yes.
No, she doesn't have heat sinks.
You wouldn't be moving around or anything. It'd be real, real hot. But then your mech wouldn't melt.
That is true.
It can get very hot.
That is true.
I don't think our mechs would melt either. They would just burst in flames as their organic bits burn away.
Oh. Isn't it nice to have mechs that don't get third-degree burns?
Isn't it nice to have mechs that can heal from their own third-degree burns?
Yeah.
It's not like you guys have armor plates to put back on once you land.
Yeah, we're well supplied.
Kinda do.
I built this mech assuming we were well supplied. It was part of our
thing. Yeah, fair enough. That's true. You're getting supply drops. Yeah, that's pretty hot. All right.
Because they're coming in orbit.
Okay, so you guys enter the atmosphere. Sure enough, your two accompaniments are just like, no, we're just gonna leave. And you quickly lose sight of them as everything you can see becomes fire.
The ion retro kicks in as the ship leaves the upper atmosphere, and you can see a vast, colorful mosaic of pinks and greens. Funny enough, you guys actually managed to avoid going off course. So you're going to land exactly in the designated LZ. Because nothing you did put the ship off course. You never took momentum from one of the other things while you were touching it. The thing gets down to the bottom and it slows and it's a real rough ride, and then suddenly you hear like a thump, and you guys are on terra firma once again. And I'm gonna call it there.
This podcast is fully copyrighted by its hosts. Visit us at podcastmagicmissile.com. I Podcast Magic Missile, attacking the darkness since 2012.